Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drugged up tonight.
Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole tonight.
I'm making fun of you.
That was that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they got driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You're listening to Rick and Roro on the date today, unprofessional of me, is the 8th of November 2025, and it's the 54th episode of Rick and Rollo. How amazing. But we've done way more than that. I'm 54th on truthmeets.com. About another, it'd have to be 300, or, you know, shows or more. It'd have to be. Rick and Rollo. And Rollo, are you in the room? I just heard your beeping in my left ear.
G'day, bud. How are you?
I'm
Michael Caine, but I can't do it very well, but everyone else can.
No, I can't do it either. I haven't tried. To be honest, I'm going to be perfectly blunt here. I have not tried.
Be blunt.
No, I've never tried.
All actors is like one of their first jobs, it seems. So his real name's Morris Micklewhite, isn't it?
Yeah. Just to be a bit esoteric here, he picked a very biblical Old Testament name, Cain and Abel.
No, you know, he picked his last name after the Cain mutiny.
No, it was one of his.
I read it in his autobiography.
All right,
okay. I did.
I don't believe it.
The Cain mutiny. That's why he changed his name. It's because Morris Micklewhite, he thought, was, you know, how am I going to get my job in Zulu, or what made him famous? Like
Alfie.
It was Alfie. Was it
the Italian
put him
job,
on the map?
The Italian job. Yeah. Where
you're only supposed to blow the fucking doors off.
Was that one? Yeah, it
That's
was too.
The Italian job. Yeah.
Interestingly, that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid also had that same gag when they're blowing up the bank, the railway bank, and they blow it in little pieces, the whole carriage, and all the money's flying through the air.
Okay.
You kind of stole the gag. Anyway, Italian Job, as a conspiracy theorist,
I love it.
And a person that looks up at the sky, and I just did then, and yes, there's a very strange, drippy-looking line going over the top of my house.
There's a train going past my place.
Oh, good. Well, it's going to head towards, it'll be heading towards me. Anyway, Rollo, I spied with my little eye the footage of the Italian job where the bus stunt goes over the bridge and over the cliff and it's hanging there. And they've repurposed it and replaced it with blue sky with a big chemtrail down the middle of it and the new versions of it. But I found the old version on a stunt site because it's a very remarkable, it was a really good stunt, and it was overcast sky on the original film, on the original film. But no, now it's got a blue sky with a big chemtrail going straight over the top of it. They're doing this, Rollo. They are changing your movies. Your history is being changed. If you don't have hard copies of your movies, which I say now, you need to get old DVDs if you can and old VHSs and keep them, be told. Anyway, back to Rick and Rollo show, back to Nostalgia Hour. Rollo, are you there? You sound like you've dropped off this mortal coil.
You've got to say Julie Andrews.
Oh, Julie Andrews. You're a pro, Rollo. You're a pro.
Julie Andrews. Okay. Did you see that thing I sent you the other day, Midnight Rider, where they set up a dream sequence on a railway yes. track on the yes. middle of a bridge?
Yes.
And William Hurt even actually said it hurt his feet when they were running away from that freight train. It could not stop. And unfortunately, one of the camera operators, when it hit that seat, the shaft of metal went straight through her and killed her instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you see that?
William Hurt immediately left the project.
Said, really?
Is this safe? And he goes, yeah, it's safe. The director. Well, yeah.
Interesting that, you know, did you see what I shared after you posted that? Because I've got my own reminiscences of a friend of mine who was working as a stuntman on Mission Impossible 2.
Okay.
You don't read what I post a really interesting story. It's a major story on the...
I read it. It was a stunt gone wrong.
Yes, and did you Mark, his name was, and he
okay.
he was standing there.
Rick. Let me. It's
right,
not.
I'm finishing
I
the
was
story.
Letting you. I wanted you to tell the story. It's not that I haven't read it. Of course, I read it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, so what happened on Mission Impossible 2? Scott shot, and the winner is Sydney. What's his name? Cruise is a tyrant when he runs a movie. He's got pros. So every day.
During COVID, if you weren't wearing a mask and social distancing, he was fully into it. Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, on this movie, so Mark, who was a total pro, and he I knew him as a safety officer, stunt safety coordinator. So he was, you know, but this guy was way over the top of him. He was Tom Cruise's personal stunt organizer for the Mission Impossible series. And apparently it was a real piece of work. And they've been shooting all day and they didn't have anything in the can, if you know what I mean, you know.
Sure.
And so he said, look, we've got to do, either way, I don't want Tom Cruise ringing me up and screaming at me in the middle of the night that he didn't get anything done. So they went with a scene without properly organizing it. And an explosion blew up a motorbike, which flew into the air and landed on my friend of mine, Mark Magnum, his nickname was Magnum. And he got really badly injured. And so he, I don't know if he was sick before that. Cause when I used to talk to him, when I used to work together on, I think Babe or Mission Matrix or whatever, he used to tell me about. He had this personal training regime and he was doing this ancient kind of art stuff. And he said, you cannot eat soy. Soy was toxic for you. He had an old Chinese master that was training him.
Yeah.
Martial arts.
Right.
And, but anyway, he died of stomach cancer 3 years after the day that he got the $1 million payout the phone call came and he died 2 hours after. And you can Google it. Can you imagine it? Yeah. Having finally making some money and you die? That's typical, I would just say.
That's like something the guy Australiana would do. You've got a $300 million payout and you've got 2 minutes to live. Yeah. What do you do with it?
Exactly.
Do you remember when Grant Page did that stunt in Mad Max 2, I think it was, over that bridge? Yeah. Off that, yes. and he flipped and he clipped and he broke his leg. He still hit the cardboard boxes and macrosanes.
Yeah,
but it clipped his, and they still kept it in there. George Miller kept it in there.
There'll never be a stunt guy like him ever again, because you're not legally allowed to do what he was doing.
Well, he did it on Channel 9 with Don Lane, didn't he? And we've talked about it. He got fucked up. Yeah, of course he did.
But then he got it up and did it again.
Because unbelievable. The guy's an absolute champion and
pro. You've got to be egotistical and show off to be a stuntman. As far as I'm concerned,
of course, because you know that I did this.
Yeah,
and he would have been upset if they didn't use there's insurance. Can you imagine how much it would be to insure?
That's exactly why you had, well, maybe not back in those days, but that's why Tom Cruise is the producer of all his movies, if you notice that, and he knows what can go wrong and how he could be sued and everything like that. So he's usually totally professional, but it took 3 years of fighting in court before Mark got his payout. The day he died.
He's still such a great actor. I mean, look, he's so believable. I went to the movies last night and I saw Begonia. It was a brand new movie. Yeah,
it sounds like a flower.
Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons. Jesse Plemons is a ginger. He's lost a lot of weight, a little bit like how would I put it? There's a guy, Christian Bale, remember him? When he lost all that weight to do The Machinist. He's lost all this weight. And he looks freaky. And he's a method actor, I think so.
Yeah.
But it was such a good movie because, they were all conspiracy theorists and they kidnapped a CEO of a corporation.
I'm interested already.
And again, I'll do it spoiler free. And me and Christy were sitting watching this movie. We were engaged every moment.
Excellent.
Of this movie. It's one of those movies. It's a bit like I was in a theater back in 1993 called Once Were Warriors. Now there was a guy called Warren Lee. Lee Tamahori, which is a Maori name. It reminded me when you said he died yesterday.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where you're in a theater where you're just totally transfixed on.
I don't remember. I remember sitting there when I first went to see it because no one warned me or pre-warned me what it was going to be about.
Me neither.
And at the beginning, because I'm a New Zealander, I'm always I have cultural cringe. You know what that is? When you go, it's a New Zealand movie, are they going to embarrass the world? And at the beginning, I was looking at some of the acting didn't seem to be that good, and they had that girl that was trying to sing that song, and then all of a sudden something happened and that movie just became the heaviest film I'd ever seen up to whatever.
It's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Tim Ewer Morrison and Rena Owen as the wife, and Grace. I don't know her name, but I don't even know who was the son who got the tattoo.
That was the guy that was in the Matrix. He's on the Nemo on the Matrix movie.
Mm.
He came over and filmed on that, which I would have kind of been, I don't even think I recognized them.
Can you go back? Yeah, can you go back? Sure. What you normally embarrass about New Zealand movies.
Yeah. Cultural cringe.
That movie you should be so proud of. It should have won best actor, best director.
You know what happened after that movie? Every one of those stars was guys like big famous
Cliff Curtis who played Uncle Billy, right?
So interesting. Cliff Curtis was supposed to play another role, and Tamira Morrison was supposed to play Uncle Billy, and they couldn't find a Jake the Mus. And Lee Tamahori went, "Nah, I reckon you can do it, Tim." Yeah. You know? And he said, because you know that Tamira Morrison was the likable doctor on a New Zealand, Shortland Street, a New Zealand soap opera. And he was a nice guy, the good guy on a New Zealand soap opera. Yeah.
Not so him saying, "Shut your bloody fucking mouth," to his wife.
So Lee Tamahori said to him, "I think you can do it." And he said, "Do you think?" And he said, "Yeah, you can do it." And they got him to do weights. He filmed him from an angle upwards, you know, so it made him look like he was 6 foot tall when he's only about 5 foot seven. He put big boots on. He said, as soon as he put the boots on, he became Jake Heckey because he had big work boots on that were way too big for him, and they lifted him up. And, but he said it was Lee Tamahori said, "You can do this," and believed in him. And he formed him, and he turned himself into Jake Heckey, which, I mean, that role is just phenomenal. You cannot not watch that movie if it's on TV.
So Cliff Curtis didn't, apparently, this is the story I heard. At the end, that wasn't supposed, Hollywood said, you have to have
the bad guy.
Uncle Bully kicked the shit out of Cliff Curtis. So,
Jake the Mus comes in.
Jake the Mus.
And we know that scene where Rena comes in and starts reading Grace's diary. And you see Jake pick it up because he can't read properly.
He reads with his finger. And then that bull roar comes over.
It's a shell. It's a conch shell. It's a old conch shell.
That fight scene was done so well.
Oh, you know, I can tell you all about it because my boss was meant to do that. He was meant to do that. The stunt coordinator in the fight scene, but they ended up using a Scottish wrestler called Robert the Bruce. His name's Robert Bruce. He was a New Zealand or a Scottish wrestler. He came in and did the fight coordination, which he did a fantastic job of showing, those fights, which were totally realistic. That's exactly how it goes in a pub. Yeah. And I've seen a few.
The sound is Rick and Roll.
Rick and Roll.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Rick and Rollo, truthmeets.com.
Episode
Saturday,
54.
The 8th of November 2021. Number nine. Yeah, we're talking about Warren Lee now.
Tamahori. Lee Tamahori. So he called
I have trouble with New Zealand names. He died just yesterday. Director who directed one of my absolute favorite films
of all time. I wouldn't call it a favorite, but it is good. But it's brutal. It's brutal film.
It's brutal, brutal. Yeah.
And George Lucas, no less than George Lucas, watched it, and he said, "This guy's got to be in my next Star Wars franchise." And he played
what Boba in Fett. Star Wars?
Boba Fett.
Yeah. They didn't do right by him in that.
No. That's the Disney versions later, but George Lucas did right by him. Yeah, and if you notice. And I actually met a girl at the pub one day, about a 6-foot-tall Maori girl, and she said to me, you know, we were talking about, you know, what we did for work, and I said, yeah, I was doing what I did. And she said, oh, I was working on Star Wars, because they're all filmed in Sydney. About 2 years after The Matrix, I guess, all three of them got filmed back-to-back in Fox Studios. And the winner is Sydney. And she was telling me she was the only female Jedi ever, and she was cast as a female Jedi by George Lucas, but she didn't get a speaking role. All parts of her got cut, but you did see her standing in line. And because George Lucas thought the Maori looked really – there's something about their culture that could fit in well with the Star Wars thing, and they did. So it was very interesting.
Well, you don't want your bits to be cut, but there's no way. Is it Clive or Cliff Curtis?
Cliff Curtis.
He went on for quite a successful career afterwards.
You know why?
Uncle Wooly.
You know why?
Tell me.
Right at that time, it was just after the 9/11 fiasco, and the war on terror was everywhere, and they needed to have actors that looked like Middle Eastern bad guys. And Cliff Curtis and the Maori, as I keep saying, the Maori is you cannot tell the difference between them and Iraqis and Iraqis and the darker skinned Egyptians and stuff like that. They are you cannot tell the difference between them. That's why they use the special forces with beards to roam around markets and get up to no good.
Well, it's funny you should bring up 9/11 because we lost. There's another rest in peace.
What a piece
Richard Bruce Cheney. Yeah.
What a
Mr. Waterboard. Mr. Waterboard. Mr. Halliburton. Halliburton Waterboard.
Yeah, we've got every right to torture and do whatever because 3,000 people died in New York that day. And I thought, you fucking lying cunt.
I didn't shed a single tear for that cunt.
No.
And that's why I'm not going to give him much.
Remember the other strange thing when his he shot someone in the face with a shotgun while they were out hunting, and I thought there's no
he
way.
Did.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
Very suspicious. I'll just say that. He says opening a can of
Oh, yeah. What's in your hand?
I know. Well, I'll just have to inform you that I'm going to be I will not be drinking canned beer ever again after I finish these last four that I've got. After seeing YouTube.
So you've still got your cans from last week?
Not from last. Yeah, maybe I did.
Are they
beautiful, but I saw a YouTube of a guy, which I totally believe it, because I knew that they spray the insides with plastic. I didn't know how thick that plastic was. There's a guy, he gets a piece of sandpaper and he sands off all the paintwork on the can, dips it in, what was it? He used borax, it was an acid-y type you know, a safe cleaning acid that you'd have in your house.
You're telling the story, mate.
They dip the can in the stuff. It eats all the aluminium off. Then he lifts it out, and you can just see it's a plastic bag inside the can. All the cans are now plastic inside. And I've been warning people about plastics after reading Slow Death by Rubber Duck.
Haven't you known that for years? Like,
I do. I know, but I didn't until I saw it when the guy did how thick the plastic is. I thought it was just a fine coating. Nah, it's almost like a plastic bag inside each can. when you remove the aluminium, it's got a coating of plastic inside it. So you're getting all the bias.
You're not even saying it correctly. It's aluminum.
Aluminum.
In America, aluminum. It's okay. Do you know how much it costs to make aluminium? I'll stop.
Yes, tell
being
me.
A prick.
Tell me.
A lot of money. A lot of money. A lot more than steel. That's what we had an aluminum plant here in Newcastle.
They do, and for now, because they're talking about having to close that down because of their power costs. Yeah. And we'll talk about, I'll tell you now, the biggest, when people, you know, to me, I saw the story the other day, just killed a fly on live on air.
John Laws killed a mosquito live on air, and he got told off. And so did Barack Obama. He there was a flyer that was in the studio and he slapped it and he got told off too.
The vegans. Yeah. He upset the vegan.
I'm a vegan. No, you're not. I'm a vegetarian.
As I said before, you're not, when I said that, because we've had one of the listeners of the Bongversations has joined the Discord. And she's done a little show yesterday with
What was her name? Her name was Serena. Serena.
Serena. Yeah.
She's an Aussie. She's from
the Winnies, Sydney. And she sounds fantastic. It's probably a really good idea to do a show with someone an easy going. Although she is a Dave J disciple. When I use that term.
What's wrong with that?
Fantastic. She's up at a high level of, if she likes those Bongversation shows, she's at a
We've got two fans now. So we've got Susie and Serena
She's not a fan of Rick and Rollo show. I don't think she's ever heard it before, as far as I'm aware. But she listened to the Bongversation. And so
I listened to the Bongversation last week. It reminded me of the book that I bought it was talking about the stars and the moons and what I spoke to John Laws about it on air when he died. You know, the guy that was in the wheelchair. Stephen Hawking. Yeah. So it reminded me of that because you guys were talking about stuff that I just went, I tried to read Stephen Hawking's book, there were only two or three pages that I could actually,
you know why, Rollo? The whole book is just a load of old codswallop. And that's why, people pretend they understand it. Just like there's a few people that might, you know, there'll be people listening to the Bongversation go, I understand that. Unless you listen from episode 1 to 50, you're going to be 50 tomorrow. You don't know. You do not know. But he's got a lot of people that are listening and know what they're talking about. So it's fantastic. And I think Serena is actually obviously got a brain in her head that she actually likes the show and grasp it. Because a lot of people cannot. They have a lot of problems with his work. But
as long as you read the stuff that you post, like, you know, stuff, the Bored Panda stuff, you know, about tattoo
I'm going to stop posting them after one of the things that I've been posting. No, because I do it.
They're like,
Roller. I do it because it's like women's magazine stuff. I do it because it's like a breath of normality in between the heavy stuff.
Exactly. When you see that front cover or something of a women's magazine, back in the day, I was addicted to it.
Same here. Because you see it and you go, I want to see that, the gossip about this and that. And then you open it up and it's just a made-up story. And can you believe, you know, Leighton Hewitt, And his actress wife, what's her name? I can't remember her name. She's an actress.
Oh, do you want me to look it up? Leighton Hewitt's wife. Let me look it up.
Yep. But now the new, I think it's New Idea, have been using that couple on the front page of their magazine for at least 20 years, and they're always about to get divorced, but they never get divorced because I reckon they've been paid $3 or $4 million to say, can we use you as our human interest fake story? Because those two have had kids. The kids are now playing tennis. His wife still looks okay. He's, you know, a character. But it sells magazines because people think that they actually are watching the, you know, like the Prince Andrew story, that they're part of, you know, the car crash of the royal family. They're not. And the royal family are going to keep on keeping on. But it sells magazines. And Leighton Hewitt and his wife, what's her name?
Okay, so Leighton Glenn Hewitt. She's married. 24th, 81.
Married.
So he's saying younger. Is
married to a soap star.
Oh, yeah, okay. Goes through his wiki here.
Who's he married
to? All right, here we go. Hold on, we'll do chat, Dave. GBT.
Zero G. Who was Leighton?
It's okay. Leighton Hewitt, wife. I honestly really do not know.
She's a soap star.
Look it up. Okay, give me a sec.
One, two, three, four, five.
Beck Hewitt. Beck?
You know, Beck, no. Yeah. What's her real name? What's her name? It's Beck.
What? Rebecca.
What was it? She was an actress.
Beck and
dear Beck,
are Leighton Hewitt are still married. They got married in 2005 and have remained together.
Okay, so I was right. 20
it must be,
years.
Must be Rebecca.
It's Beck, but she was a soapy star. So she's been, so these two.
All right, hold on.
Have been on the front page of the New Idea. Where they stick them in the grocery store just next to where the kids' lollies are at the same level for the same purpose, to sell them to people that think that they're actually going to find out some real gossip.
All right. Okay. So Leighton Hewitt's wife is Beck Hewitt, who is also known as her role as Hayley Smith Lawson on the Australian soap opera Home and Away.
Yeah, Home and Away. She's
from
a
1998. 1998 to 2005. Yeah.
Which I worked on. And
worked on Home and Away.
Yep. The lowest budget film TV show I've ever darkened my presence on. Ever.
Well,
and I told you the story. Fuck all. None of the stars get much money. Because
well,
I told
you're not even a star. You're in line. You were behind William Hurt, and who was behind you? Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, that's getting a.
And when you're on Dark City, and William Hurt almost got killed on set.
Interesting coincidence.
He told that story where he was running over the. Can you see that he left that? That he never went back to that.
But so last week there was a bit of an issue towards the end. It was all kind of muffled, so I'd say it just went underneath my shirt.
Your mic heated up.
No, that happens. Actually, to be honest, that does happen because often when a friend of mine rings and I speak to them for more than 20 minutes. Towards the end, it goes all muffled. So you're right; it could heat up.
Yeah,
there you go.
But I could still. I treat it as a how would you say if the mic goes dusty, as long as I can still hear you, and we're still being recorded. Yeah,
you should say
there's
though,
nothing
you should,
to be worried about.
I can unplug it and replug it. Anyway, can I tell you about one of the reasons I want to get off that, not Bored Panda, but there's another one that I share stuff on. It comes on Facebook. They've had three stories this week on Pete Evans. You remember who Pete Evans is? He was a celebrity chef who was an anti-vaxxer. And he owned Hugo's at the Cross and Hugo's at Manly, him and his brother. And he decided that he wasn't going to be part of the vaccine thing. And he got crucified by the media by, you know, saying that he didn't want, you know, and they were saying, oh, he's a crazy conspiracy theorist now and da-da-da. All of a sudden, every story that they do on him now, they're going, oh, crazy Pete Evans. There he is. Look, he's walking shoeless, looking disheveled.
Okay, so Pete Evans, Instagram ban for Australian chef over conspiracy theories. Australian celebrity chef Pete Evans has been banned from Instagram. Weeks after his Facebook page was removed for reportedly misinformation about the coronavirus.
You know, he said, I'm not going to take one of your fucking vaccines, like two other people that I know, you, me, and a few other people out there.
He looks like a great guy to me.
Hey, I went straight onto the comments and I said the fucking only disabled person is the spastic that reported on a guy who's 61 going for a walk to the shops with his shoes off because he lives next to the fucking beach. I said, that's disheveled. Your reporting skills. And I got a whole lot of likes on that.
I just posted his picture on
he's 61 or 2 years of age. He's got a few grey hairs and he's slim because he's into alternative health like myself.
So what's wrong with that? I spent the day grinding carrots. I spent today grinding carrots, slow grinding carrots, because I've got this pain in my gut.
Yeah,
I've got a pain in my gut.
Yeah. You've got it and I've got it and a lot of other people have got it. I reckon they're spraying poisons on us from above. And I'm looking at it right now, conspiracy theorist that I am. I've had the same thing and I've been kind of blaming all this other stuff. You've got the same.
I'm doing the Gerson therapy, which is, and you have to have a special machine.
You've got it. And it
so
costs
you hear it. You hear it. Goes, it costs like two or three. Yeah, $300.
No, it's more than that.
Well, I just sit there grinding the carrots and I put vodka into it.
I'm going to give you some bad news. That's going to make negate all the good stuff in your slope. Are you seriously doing it? This is hilarious.
Yeah.
Rollo adds vodka to his Gerson method. Why don't you take a vodka enema, Rollo? That may spark you up slightly. Because if you're going to do the Gerson method, you have to do coffee enemas. Did you know that?
Look, you'll be proud of me. I mowed and whippersnipped my front and my back lawn.
Isn't that amazing?
All the weeds.
So you have become as obsessive as me on your lawn just because you're house proud. It's fantastic. You're listening to...
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And you're listening to the Rick and Rolo Nostalgia Hour on truthmeets.com with Rick and Rolo live on the... what date is it today? It's the 8th. Of November 2025, and it's episode number 54. Back to the house, Rick and Rollo.
Rolling Rocketelli there. Thank you. Rick and Rollo 54. Yeah, we're having a good time.
Rolling Rocketelli is still alive, would you believe?
Yeah, and so is Angry Anderson. Yeah. I saw this board panda thing you posted, right? Where the person was like upset with the tattoos that they got on their torso.
And I
absolutely loved their torso. I love the tattoos. I've seen some rotten tattoos.
If that was your torso and you're looking at it and going, actually, I don't like that. I should have got a dragon under my chest or this and that. This is what indecision is. And that's
Those were our young years.
Hey, anyway, back to RIP. Robert Taylor, 75 years of age, and he looks, this is the original members of Dragon, the original guitarist from Dragon, the long kind of hair.
He's gone.
He passed away on Thursday, the same day as. So New Zealand had two, I mean, these are two iconic New Zealanders, big time, Lee Timahori and Robert Taylor. And Robert Taylor had obviously cancer, and I would say he was 75, but he looks so sick. And I guess what I would say that, because he had some well-meaning imbecile taking him off to chemo that actually killed him, the chemo killed him, I would say. He looked so, like, if he'd been on the Gerson method, Rick Simpson cannabinoids, cannabis or CBD oils,
absolutely,
and the mushroom stuff, reishi mushrooms.
G'day, mate.
He would be, I'm going to suggest now, he would still be alive. He looked like he'd been poisoned to death, and his eyes were the eyes of a person that had been poisoned to death. And thanks, Joel. You are the greatest
producer ever. Look,
hey guys.
So
I was just going to pop in and say I've heard of a Bloody Mary before, but you might have invented the Bloody Bugs Bunny or something like that.
10 out of 10, Joel.
Thank you.
The bloody carrot juice. Well, I say that tomorrow. I want a bloody carrot juice. That's normal.
Oh, mixing carrot juice with.
Yeah,
what with vodka. I like that.
Well, welcome to the joke.
I like what you found yesterday. That now it's a candle holder.
Yeah, I found it. Can I tell you about that? Can I tell you? Yep. So I was yesterday, and I did 3 bay walks in a row: Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This is the bay walk in the Winnies, you know, in a city. From Roselle, Grimoire.
The winner is Sydney, Australia.
Not even halfway around. I was about a quarter of the way around. I looked over right next to one of these giant waterfront, you know, $20 million mansions in Five Dock that face the Parramatta River. Mm-hmm. And I saw there was two really good quality motorbike helmets, which I saw first. Not that I ride a motorbike, but I was sitting at the front. And next to it, lying down, I thought, that looks like a candelabra. And I thought, should I drive back when I finish the bay walk and pick it up? And I thought, hang on, someone else is going to see that before I get back. So I ran over and I grabbed it. It was about 5.5 foot, 6 candle burning candelabra, wrought iron, antique looking. It's like it's quite old, but in beautiful condition. So I picked it up and I thought, I'm just going to finish 2.5 kilometers carrying one of this giant candelabra. People were looking at me like, what the fuck are you walking around this bay walk?
Some sort of pilgrimage.
Vela, can you play Wombles of Wimbledon?
I wanted to play one of my favorite clips from, it's from my favorite episode of Seinfeld. See if you can get where this is going.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
He yelled Cartwright. I missed it.
Who's Cartwright?
I'm Cartwright.
You're not Cartwright.
Of course I'm not Cartwright!
Is it George? That's George.
The reason I brought that up is because it's the name you were looking for was Beck Cartwright, I believe.
Oh, you're right. That's so funny.
I was one of those kids of the 90s that grew up with it, so I was at home listening to the show screaming, it's Cartwright, it's Cartwright, fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't need to look it up.
I don't know if Vera Licious watched it, but the most anyone Australian that watched TV in the 90s to know who Bert Cartwright was.
What is your favorite bit, Rick? Rick, your favorite bit is that guy that comes in and goes, "Hello, Newman."
Hey,
Wayne Knight.
So on Thursday night, pardon the pun, Wayne Knight, Thursday night, I was fiddling around with the TV where I stay and said, "The winner is," and I found the Seinfeld on Foxtel, the Seinfeld channel, which is nothing but Seinfeld. I'm telling you, I love that show still, but can you believe 1994, which is halfway through the series or towards the end of it, was 31 years ago? That's like a lifetime. That's half my age, more than half my age.
Do you know how much Jason Alexander got for, you know, the last season, like per episode?
He got residual.
$8 million or something.
It's but he got residual.
What do you do with that?
Well, they do not need to work ever again. But Elaine stars in Veep. Jerry does those drive around things. Look, Seinfeld.
He came to Newcastle and did a bank. Yeah. Well, he didn't come to Newcastle, but he did a bank thing for. Yeah,
he did. But Jerry Seinfeld only works to keep himself interested. He signed the deal that no other TV show had come up with. So, you know, like I Dream of Jeannie and Smart and the Beverly Hillbillies, they made no money. No money whatsoever.
But he didn't need money, but he did that talking with people in cars.
Rollo, you're not understanding me. Jerry Seinfeld and what's his name, the other guy, they signed a deal that gave them all rights of their repeats and syndication. Hundreds of millions.
I'll have to look that up. Yeah, but the guy that produced it. Yeah, I know.
He's not the producer, but the guy that co-wrote it. Those guys made, you know, say 150 million to 200 million, but they're making that every year. And so George probably gets 6 million a year. What's his name? And even Wayne Knight probably doesn't need to work again.
Even the baseballer, right? We're going to talk about the baseball. Yeah, well, we'll talk about the LA Dodgers
when he puts the cotton uniforms on them, they shrink and they lose the game.
Yeah, they did the second spitter or something. You remember that? Yeah. It was like a JFK ripoff.
The magic loogie.
Yeah. The dude that was in it, he was the baseballer. He kept getting checks in the mail for $2,000 or $3,000. For years, because the guy that actually ran the company, actually did his job.
Yeah, they and, all got paid.
Everybody got paid.
So that's why none of the stars of Seinfeld ever, 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 ever need to work for money. They do it for fun. So even Michael Richards, you don't see him anymore. He doesn't
even him with when he disgraced himself, said the N word. Can we get Velo to play that?
You know, but that was the Masonic ritual of humiliation because he. Yeah, he was quite a high level Mason. This is Michael Richards, very pro Mason. And so he did this kind of embarrassing thing where he started screaming abuse at a couple of black guys in the audience.
If you don't get a laugh, I don't mind when I talk. Get a laugh at you or with you.
That whole thing, to me, was a setup that Michael Richards had to humiliate himself as part of one of those Masonic weird ritual things. The Jewish New York Entertainment Fraternity every year have those roasts, celebrity roasts, and it's this. It's a fire ritual. It's a whole thing about roasting.
But the roast back in the day that I remember that, I know, you know, when Don Rickles.
Let me finish. In their culture, what it does is it excuses you for your behavior, and you do this stuff as a part of your behavior. I'm coming over to your place tomorrow in the morning.
I'm working at 10.
I'll come before that.
You can come to my place, mate.
I'll believe it.
All right, I'll be there before that.
No, I've got
to leave a little bit before 10:40. Thanks, dear. I love it. Love your T-shirt. Sorry.
What T-shirt is he wearing?
Comic Care Clean
the Boy. Is that too personal?
This happened. This is the second time this has happened. Our old friends turn up, and they turn up, and I go, on a Sunday, it's bad because I'm doing a show. Because I was doing a Rick and Rollo two Sundays ago. Did we do a Sunday? Was it Sunday?
Well, I need to go to the bathroom. Have you got a song? Have you got a song to go to a break?
Rick, the Rolling Stones. I sent it to Joel before, if Joel can hear that.
Joel, could you?
I know, it's only Rick and Rollo, but I love it. I know, it's only Rick and
Rollo. No, it's Rick and Rollo and Jolo.
Yeah, I know, but the song.
I'm interested. I like the Rolling Stones. I like the Beatles.
Yeah, but there's a song called I know it's only rock and roll, but I like it.
I bet it's awesome.
That sounds just perfect for the show. There should be a... Here we go.
Here it comes.
I'll see you afterwards.
Rick and Rollo.
Spill it all over the stage. Would it satisfy? Would it satisfy? Would you think the boy is strange? Ain't it strange? If I could win, if I could sing a love song so divine, would it be enough for your cheap heart? If I broke down and cried, if I
good spanking. Open up to your bum. Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me. Sort a few fucking lines of coke. For fuck's sake.
We'll be right back.
When you drink vodka, you just sound like this sad, lonely idiot.
That's hilarious.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
So don't think that it's just a nothing burger. It's a big burger. It's a double big burger with cheese melting on the top of it. You fucking lying cunt.
You wake up naked with God knows in somebody's house. Who the fuck house am I in?
It's only Rick and Rollo, but I like it. This is our theme, new theme tune. Only Rick and Rollo,
remember Rick back in the day when songs were so simple? It's only rock and roll and we like it. There's, you don't have to think about the lyrics.
Yeah. But it's only Rick and Rollo. I think it's better. It's only Rick and Rollo, but I like it. It's only Rick and Rollo, but I like it.
Yeah, my father met Mick Jagger in Shepherd's Bush. Yeah, in 1955. Yeah.
No.
He said he was a nice guy.
It was later than that.
Oh, I'm telling you. I keep getting that. 62.
That was a new clip there, too. I dropped in one I just clipped from when you were talking earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed that. We're talking about Richard, what's his name, from the 9/11 scam. And the shooting the bloke in the face scam, whatever he did.
Richard Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
That song reminds me so much of You Really Got Me, Girl, The Kinks. Remember? You really got me now.
Do you think? Maybe. Yeah.
I hear a bit of Kinks.
That was one of their best albums, though. One of their great albums. Every song on that album's fantastic. It's only rock and roll.
So you're a stoner, not a Beatles. You're not a Beatle.
No, I'm 50-50. I like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I thought they were both fantastic. Yeah. But apparently back in the day, you were either one or the other. It seemed to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's a cycle. This whole thing split you in between, you know, one person like rock and roll, the other one's a bodgy and a widgie or whatever they call themselves, a rocker and a punk and a, you know, that's how they use sport and music and culture to keep you divided all the time and even music. But sorry, that was, say, I had Theo turned up again. So no wonder I have any friends that visit me, because every time they come over, I'm in the middle of a show. Anyway, but we'll work it out. I'm going to go and see him in the morning.
Well, you know that Paul McCartney did die in 1966 in a car crash, and they replaced him with
Paul McCartney. I don't know about that one. I don't believe that one.
Rick and Roll.
La, 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 la.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Yeah, so here we are on Rick and Roll at 54, Saturday's truthmeets.com on Saturday the 8th of November 2025. Yeah, we are mourning the loss of Warren Lee. Now, you're going to have to help me with
that. It's Lee Tamahori. I don't know where you get this Warren. Was his real name Warren? Might have been. I've never known.
Yeah, it's like Richard John Laws. Like Richard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, Lee. So we had lost Lee and we lost Robert Taylor from the Dragon Band, one of the great New Zealand bands that became huge in Australia in the 70s.
My favorite song from Mark Hunter with M.A.R. see Hunter was young years.
Nah. There's too many good songs. And April Sun in Cuba actually brings up the whole Kennedy thing, if you listen to the lyrics. April Sun in Cuba.
That's a fantastic song. Maybe we can hear Bello can play a few bars.
We just played a song.
I've never been to Cuba. Have you ever?
No, but I'd love to. I would love to go to Cuba. Yeah. A fabulous place to visit, apparently. According to friends that I know that have been there.
A bit like Bali. I've been to Bali too.
No, Cuba be America's Bali. Australia's Bali's Bali. And Cuba you can visit it. It's everything's falling to pieces, but beautiful women, apparently, and great dancing. If you're into dancing and music and jazz, and Cuba's still thriving in that department. I do believe. Anyway, it was fantastic. We've got Jolo has been. Joel.
Yeah.
Now,
we should put on some Buena Vista Social Club. Play a few bars of that, Joel.
I heard Joel, I heard there was a bad accident in Lismore involving a train crew on Wednesday or Thursday.
Lithgow.
The rescue had to be mounted because something hit something and caused the crew that were repairing something or other. Something to do with the train.
No, you might be having a different. No, there might be a different thing. We just had a cherry pick, like a, you know, cherry picker type truck hit a bridge.
Cherry picker.
And the guy died.
It was nothing to do with trains then.
It was a rail. The bridge he hit was a rail bridge.
Okay. That's what.
But it's a disused one that goes up the gully here. Like it comes off the main line and loops around. So that bridge is there, but the line is inactive. But then I saw the photos online and thought, wait, there could be a conspiracy here. So I went to check it out for myself. And it did. It looked like the truck was coming from the other way. And I thought, that part of town, the only way in or out is through that road. So I'm like, if the truck was coming one way, how did it get in there in the first place? But I went and checked the street signs from the photo and it was going the correct way.
Yeah.
But they'd already removed the bridge by that night. They must have just got a crane in and ripped the whole thing out.
Oh, that was a full-on rescue, you know, involving a lot of people. This was on 2GB, of course. I'm getting my information from the 2GB news thing, and I thought,
the guy that tells the truth on 2GB, what was his name again?
Jason Morrison. Yeah. Well, for now, I think he's only a relief guy. He should be. The guy is a total news talent, like a broadcasting talent. You know, and he knows all of like he knew Clive Roberts and he knew John Wars. He was very good friends with Alan Jones. He's got a great voice for radio and a head for radio as well, apparently. He's very fat now. But I just enjoyed hearing. I'm looking forward to this year's 2GB summer lineup because they're going to be old faces from the old days. Like Mike Jeffries, my favourite, guaranteed. Way better voice than John Laws, as far as I'm concerned.
But he was sensible. Mike Jeffries was sensible. Unlike us, we've let's be honest. We've had a few drinks. Is Velocet? What's in your hand? Come on, Velocet. What's in your hand? Jolo, what's in your hand?
You can get it drinking. You can get it winking. And the best place to get it is truthmeats.com. A full taste of full barrel beer or vodka on truthmeats.com. Be told 100,000,000%. See, I can still do it.
Well,
thank you.
Those are the guys.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you,
Donald. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Donald. Thank you, Donald. Those are the days.
Apparently, Donald's matching.
He's got to come back. We need him back. I listened last night to my. Oh, can I just say, Rollo, that I hate sport anyway. But I went to listen to my favourite radio station, and they said all our regular shows are cancelled because of the what's that useless soccer team from the Gosford area, the something or other Mariners, the Mariners game. So they were playing a Mariners game in Perth. They cancelled all my radio shows last night except for one, and I listened to about an hour of that, and they had to go live to the Mariners. Boring soccer. I mean, honestly, I cannot stand sport.
One of my best friends at university, Mick Komet. No, he commentated on the game.
Yeah,
you know, the ball's gone to that and to that guy, and then to that guy, and that guy.
Yeah, that happened.
And then goal! You know, and he'd do that. Yeah.
Goal!
I don't think I could ever do that.
Who was that guy from SBS? The old Italian or kind of woggy. Gola! And everyone loved the copy of his voice. He says, trying to get a beer out of the fridge.
Oh, you're going to get a beer out of the fridge? Oh, man, I should get another refill as myself.
Rollo, what are you doing? We have
I'm just vodka, lime, and soda. Boring.
Is that it? And what about boring carrot juice? No carrot juice?
Vodka, that was lime funny. I was doing the Gerson therapy, and I said I poured a little bit of vodka in my carrot juice.
What a fuckwit. So you've got a $750 Gerson. So this is the same blender that Klaus Schwab makes his vegan adrenochrome with. Because it tortures the carrots. It tortures the carrots because they get blended really slowly. This is a fact. Klaus Schwab tortures carrots and sells vegan adrenochrome. Be told.
Well, are you there, Klaus?
No, he's not. Not at the moment.
It is hilarious that I do that.
You add vodka to your vegan adrenochrome. That is an absolute travesty, Rollo. I'll give you some advice. Because I know how expensive those basically, what they do is they keep most of the carrots, the energy in them.
Do you know who you remind me of? My father. Yep. I'm inside the house now, so I can talk at the top of my voice because I'm about to fill up. My father used to say exactly the same thing. You know that it's torturing the carrots. You know, because if you're a meat eater, because I don't eat meat.
When you go out to pick your fresh herbs, it's a living entity sitting there growing away under the sun, having a great time, and you go out there and rip its neck off. So basically, if that herb was living, which it is, I'm going to have to tell you now, you are a murderer. You are a herbal murderer.
Murdering carrots.
A herbal serial killer. That's what you are if you are. John LeBron will cut that one.
That reminds me.
Herbal serial killer. Guaranteed.
Oh, man, it's so fun when you say it like that. You know, because
it's true.
It reminds me of the good old days.
I didn't take a note about this, but last night I noticed this again.
I was trying to find the short clip of him saying you're a spiritual murderer, but I don't know if I've got one already cut. That's a 15-second one. I don't have a 2-second.
Vegetable murderer.
That's what I was going for.
Murderer. Yeah. So, Rollo, I was again at a couple of. I've been at two houses this week.
Oh, wonderful! I saw your Boris video.
Oh, he's always fantastic.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was painting under the deck, and he came sniffing.
Does Boris normally have a tail cut off, or do they cut his tail off, or is that just natural?
Has he not got a tail? I didn't even know. To be honest, could be a Mandela effect. I haven't noticed. I thought he had a tail, but he probably got it docked as part of, or they don't grow much of one, maybe the breeding.
Yeah, I know they dock Doberman's tails and they dock.
I think it's disgusting.
Some dogs. Yeah.
No, I'm telling you now, this is the thing that disgusts me the most. No, not. Mm. There's a lot of things that disgust me. I go to pay houses and they've got beautiful indoor plants, right? On their whatever, or mm-hmm. cactuses or whatever, and they're all dying because no one's watered them. And it's like, can't you see that fucking little plant that you bought out of a nursery is just dying? You know what I mean? And so I go and I water them all the time. I actually go into people's houses and to look after other people.
Isn't that your job, though, to water them?
No, but I do.
It isn't.
No, it's not at all. But I keep, there's nothing more irritating.
Well,
going to offices that I see, and there's all these plants dying because no one's, you know, tipping a little bit of water on them, and they think, oh no, I'm really green and everything, and everything's good. Can't you see that plant is dying of thirst?
I feel guilty now. I've got a couple of plants out the back that I haven't
watered. Better be fucking watering them. I tell you now, I'll be on to you.
Get out there and I'm going to go out there and water them. Should I put vodka on them or just water?
No, Rollo. I'll just tell you now.
No, but I understand. I see the beautiful places that you get to.
Yeah, but can't people see a plant dying of thirst in their house? They can't. Mm. People are too obsessed with watching Leighton Hewitt and Beck Cartwright and their marriage woes, which I'm telling you now, 20 years down the track, these two are still married. So you were lied to if you bought the new idea, or no idea is a better description for
the way it works. The way it works, I've heard, is they don't. If you're trying to sell those sort of magazines,
no idea.
You don't want that guy to be, you know, be known to be in a relationship.
Yeah, but Rollo, I knew as soon as I saw this, because what they do, because I can spot a fake pose so today I saw this. That's why I said I'm going to cancel posting anything from
Bored Panda.
No, Bored Panda's not too bad. There's another one that. Well, and they did this story on Pete Evans, which I said, this guy is a normal 61-year-old guy with grey hair, slim, going to the beach without shoes on. They marketed as, oh, he's lost the plot, he's disheveled, and he's got no shoes on. This is how Channel 9, whatever, that runs this magazine, runs this Facebook site, as marketing Pete Evans. And I was straight on going, the guy lives on the fucking coast. No one wears shoes when they go to the beach. As simple as that. He's got grey hair because he's 61 years of age. Simple, right? He's dishevelled because he's just got out of bed, walked out there. And then they did the same thing with Bruce Willis, sitting in a car, eating a sandwich, and they've taken a photo and it makes his jaw look like it's a distended. And they've gone, oh, my God, Bruce Willis, he's now, look at him, how pathetic he looks. And I'm like, the guy's eating a sandwich.
Wouldn't
in a car.
That be the that would be the curse of your life is being every exactly. time you go Media. Out of your house, yeah, and
imagine that
people taking photos.
Exactly. So
imagine that. I would think that would be hell. That would be hell. Yeah.
And that is the curse of being a celebrity. And so celebrities. And I'll tell you that the worst one I seen was on Baywatch when it was shot over here. I actually met one of these a pro paparazzi, big shaved head guy. he goes, oh, can you look after my camera? He had all this long range, expensive, you know, each lens would have been, you know, $5,000 each. And I said, oh, yeah, maybe. And then I seen what he was climbing up over, he took off and went and was trying to shoot down on the, to get, so many different celebrities were on that Baywatch and Avalon Beach back in 97, 98, whatever it was.
I would say David Hasselhoff would have had the most one.
Any shot of any one of them. And David Hasselhoff.
Did, Did Pam Anderson? Did Pam Anderson come to Australia?
No. But no. We were talking about the stars of this a couple of weeks ago. That had, you know, what's the name that? We talked about her name. Joel Romero. She was on the Who Dares Wins TV show. She was there.
Tania Zayeta.
Who did?
Tania Zayeta was there. It was loads of kind of semi. They were big stars back in the day. But what this guy was doing is like trying to find an angle where they might look so good and then getting a photo. And you could sell that photo for 10 grand or 5 grand. They were quite big prices, I do believe. And there's a whole industry that sparked up. Now that we've got AI, you don't need to wait a bit. You can make a photo of what you say that's a real person.
It's crazy what AI can do.
It's scary. Yeah. It is scary. It just shows you can.
Let's ask Velocette, or Jolo. What did you think of us being made into a boy band? That Verilicious.
Well, that's how easy it is to do. We weren't a boy band.
I want to know.
We stood up and moved around. And moved around for a still photo.
But I want to hear Bella's thoughts on it. But
what are my thoughts?
Did you enjoy
it? It sounds like you're fishing for some sort of answer.
No, I don't. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was great. I am impressed what it can do. But
isn't it incredible how they can do that?
And I liked the cover art one where Rick and Dave J float away on the magic carpets. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
I never saw that. Who did that, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave did it. Yeah, where you're floating on magic cartons into the LSD sphere. And mushrooms and puffing on spliffs or something.
I didn't see it, but Dave knows how to do it. Verilicious is what she got.
Hey, Jolo, repost it onto Rollo's balcony.
I do not look at the screen. I've got no idea. So can you check if anyone sent a message to or commented on anything we've said in the last hour?
Verilicious has posted why Seinfeld star Michael Richards is opening up about life. It's Hollywood.
As a Mason.
Richards left Hollywood after racist rant upended his career.
Yeah. Well, it did, but I say that because he is a Mason and a proud of it. So I think that was a humiliation ritual, and like they do, which is up big into. So, Rollo, actually, I just remembered.
No. Bella.
Someone just died today.
Julie Andrews.
Okay.
Bella, can you play
my. How many times do you want to say Bella?
Did you hear that last week?
I don't want to go find his racist rant. You've done enough of that yourself. No, don't.
Yeah, exactly. And Joel, did you hear me last week? It was funny. Rollo said Julie Andrews to me, and then he kept mentioning Saturday Night, and I kept going, in the background, he goes, you've broken the Julie Andrews rule, Rick.
I didn't know it went the other way.
Yeah, I have.
Last week's show, it was funny. I laughed about that because Rollo kept mentioning every time he said Saturday Night.
It's all good. Hey, Rick, have you thought of a song to go out with tonight?
Yes,
it's
already.
It's definitely that.
No, I'll send it.
Definitely that.
No, I'll send another one. You know, I just listened to a fantastic song by. So last night I got an hour of my favorite DJs. Off Coast FM that came on for an hour before the soccer started.
Let's hear it.
And no. It was they played.
I got to go to the bathroom, man. I got to go to the bathroom. You don't want to hear me think.
Rick and Roll.
Go.
No
matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Rick and Rollo, episode number 54 on the truthmeets.com. Truthmeets.com.
With Jolo.
Rick and Rollo and Jolo on the 8th of November.
Bella said, you're so funny.
That's 8 years old now, Joel. 8 years old. The Rick Roller, Joel, you're so funny. 8 years old. Anyway, I was listening today. Yeah, can you believe it? And it's like me when I was watching Seinfeld, laughing my head off, and it came up with that last bit of the show, and it said, screen 1994, and I was going, 1994. That's like 31 years ago.
We're old.
We are old. Yeah, no doubt about that. That's half my life.
I liked when Jerry was asked, straight to his face, where he goes, "Is it true that it was just a show about nothing?" He goes, "No, Larry David, me, we had this thing in mind, and we didn't know, and we pitched it to CBS or ABC or whatever.
Which they did a mock-up,
and they went, will this work?"
Well, they actually parried it. So this is the brilliance of that show. They parodied their own setup of the show as an episode, and they had an actor that was playing Michael Richards, an actor playing George, an actor playing Jerry, and it never worked. And the actual actor that played Michael Richards was fantastic. I forget who he was, but he did such a good role. But season four
was the breakthrough. They called it the breakthrough season because they had this revolutionary idea about let's do a show within a show.
Yeah, exactly.
Before that, I agree. The first three seasons were a little different. You know, they hadn't found the last.
How many seasons was there? Nine.
As with any show, it's usually up to five is fine. Then it starts to always go a bit off the rails.
Which season did he stop doing the stand up bits because the whole premise of the show was there in New York and how a comedian makes a success of himself. I just love that show.
I've got the box set and the whole hard copy that came out in 1999 or 2000, and that's so it's uncut, and it's got from the very earliest episodes, which were on. What they did is they started screening at 11 o'clock at night, and it didn't work. Most people are asleep. And then the next series got allowed to be on a bit earlier, and then that just went off. And I remember the 90s as being you had to be watching Seinfeld and Friends, and later Sex and the City. You know, Sex and the City a bit later. I thought there was some
other show called Seinfeld and Friends.
But Seinfeld, Friends, Sex and the City... what else? But these were shows that everyone, except for I didn't watch Friends, and I certainly didn't watch Sex and the City.
Yeah, I've never seen either of those.
No. But Seinfeld was like something that you watched and laughed your fucking head off and talked about it at the pub. And everyone had a friend that was George, and everyone had a friend that was Kramer, and everyone had a friend that was Jerry. And it was funny with me that so many people used to go, "Oh, you remind me of Jerry. You remind me of Jerry." But to me, I would identify as George and Kramer and Jerry, the whole three of them. So my personality is bits of all three of them for sure.
And a bit of Elaine in there as well.
Yeah, and the are you Spongeworthy? That was one of the funniest ones. There's so many little grabs that you talked about at the pub that next day, because you used to go to the pub more than once, you'd go four or five times a week, which is not happening anymore, and maybe some people might do it. But when you socialised, you discussed Seinfeld. That was the Simpsons to some extent, and some people were always into in 96 or 7 South Park, because all of a sudden you had Foxtel in your house and you could watch TV on demand. everything changed about 96 or 7, I think. That's when life changed, because we had Foxtel, and you had TV that you could watch whenever you wanted to watch it. So it was definitely a thing. But what was I going to before? I was talking about something or other. I was saying, anyway, I've lost my train of thought. But Seinfeld was definitely an influential show. It was, people discussed each episode. It was like, I guess it was like the 60s and the 50s back in, you know, when you had major TV shows like The Fugitive that everyone was, had to watch, or The Invaders and et cetera. But that's gone now. It's all finished.
I just sent Bello something that you'll love. It's a pitch meeting for Seinfeld. Can you play that for us, Bello?
That'd be good, actually. I love those.
Yeah,
I love them.
Oh, no, please. I hate that guy, Rollo. I hate that guy.
Come on, please.
You and your fucking pitch meeting. That guy is so annoying. His face is the most punchable face I've ever seen.
Yeah, oh, that's for sure. But
play a bit of
I love some of them.
A tiny bit.
So you have a show for me? Yeah, so it's a sitcom created by a comedian named Jerry Seinfeld. What's his comedy like? Oh, it's great. He'll be on stage like, "What is the deal with airline food?" Okay. Yeah, and then sometimes he's like, "What is the deal with other stuff?" I guess that sounds relatable. Yeah, and then other times he's like, "What is the deal?" Okay, you could stop doing that voice now. Oh, yeah, sure. That's not what he sounds like, is it? Kind of.
Ish.
Also, he's not the best actor in the world, so he's probably going to be on the verge of laughing all the time. Oh. Or at the very least, smiling all the time, no matter what the situation is. Okay, well, maybe people won't mind all that. So the show's going to follow a fictional version of Jerry and basically show how a comedian comes up with material. Interesting, so we're going to see his everyday life with his friends and stuff. Yeah, it'll be him and his three friends that are also, you know, high-functioning sociopaths. Wait, what? He has three friends. Yeah, but Jerry and his friends are high-functioning sociopaths? Oh yeah, none of the main characters have any sense of moral responsibility or social conscience whatsoever. Wow, so they're holes. Oh yeah, so tell me more about the other sociopaths. Well, one of them is named George. What's his deal? He's short, stocky, and bald, and instead of speaking, he's just gonna scream every line and kind of flail his arms around. Got it. Then there's Elaine, who used to date Jerry and is a terrible dancer. Great. Then there's Kramer. And what's he like? Oh, he's great. Of the high-functioning sociopaths, he's the least high-functioning. Interesting. Yeah, and he's gonna do this thing where he opens doors really fast. Oh.
Yeah, enough?
Yeah, hi. No, that's 100% correct, though.
Yeah. I like this guy is so talented. Not only does he have a punchable face, he literally just describes the show and it's supposed to be comedy, which I find
which is exactly what it was. You know, it's true, though. But what he said is exactly true. It's just total.
His father just died.
Quite recently, I heard that the change in Kramer's character was like the first couple of seasons that the seasons were shorter. Like the first was only like 6 episodes, and then the second was like 15 or something.
Seinfeld Chronicles.
And that when it was first getting off the ground like that, they said Kramer was always acting like a buffoon, like a moron. And then around the third season, they completely changed, and he became the smartest guy in the room. Like he knew what was, you know, like he always knew all that, like a conspiracy theorist. He sort of knew everything all the truths about everything, but just wasn't telling them. Yeah, yeah. So it sort of, and I never thought of it that way before, but when someone said it, I'm like, yeah, it did change the tone.
Oh, for sure. Guaranteed.
Happens. Absolutely for sure. Hey, Rick, it happens all the time. Jolo, it happens all the time. There was Blackadder, Baldrick in the very first,
same thing.
In 1983, was very, very clever, and he knew he was the one. Whereas the Blackadder was Rowan Atkinson.
So they swapped character. They swapped.
I'll be back in a little bit.
And you're right, mate. You're right. It happens all the time when the characters.
What's his name? Graham Richardson passed away today. That guy was up to no good.
The politician.
Yeah. That guy would have to be the dodgiest fucking politician ever. Even on his, I've got his biography here somewhere. It's okay. Called By Any Means Necessary. Like, and on it, he's doing the 666. He's got his hand up doing the 666, you know, the thing where you make your eye and the 666 above it.
I enjoyed him on the radio. He was great.
And he decided, I want to be, forget about my past as a
all right, Graham. Politician. Yeah, fuck yeah. Graham Frederick Richardson, 27th of September 1949, sorry, to the 8th of November was an Australian Labor Party, was a senator. So, yeah, so what finished? Oh, Graham, was it old age? Let's have a look.
No, he had lots of well, I'll just say this. The guy would have been sitting in pubs eating at the Golden Century, and that's a whole psychological operation itself. That's where the Labor Party did all their deals, the Golden Century Hotel in the Whitties, Sydney. Chinese restaurant full of where the politicians, the rich people all ate. Pippies and XXO sauce or whatever they call it, and it was open till 6 a.m. It was open from lunchtime to 6 a.m. in the morning every day of the week. It was extremely
It says here that Richardson temporarily stepped down from his Sky News programs to undergo major surgery weeks after the operation had occurred. It was reported that he suffered breathing difficulties and moved back into intensive care.
The life of Rollo for my 50 life. Years.
My life. Years. I'm the life of Riley. Yeah.
I call it the life of Rollo, not the life of He got away.
When you say life of Riley, I think of Sam Neill.
Yeah, I do.
Riley, I despise.
Fantastic movie. If you're into conspiracy theories, Riley was extremely interesting. Look into Riley the spy. But Graham Richardson was
so rest in peace, Graham.
Yeah, rest in peace. I'll just say this. I don't think that guy is gonna go up. I think he's heading right down to the ground, deep under the pit of hell. Because he was always mixed up with prostitutes, bashings of
what's wrong with that?
Well, other things as well. Bashings of rival politics.
If he was a hitman or whatever.
A wet job. A wet job.
Wet job. Was he into wet jobs?
No, not him personally, but it certainly would have been something to do with it. If there was a prostitution scam which he was heavily involved with. It's called the Purger. Can you believe the name? Veronica Purger. Graham Richardson. It was a setup to bribe other politicians, just like what we see with the Epstein thing. That guy was in the middle of all that stuff.
I'll tell you again, and you know it, when that prostitute said to me that Philip Ruddock, our Attorney General of Australia, he was into was fucking dogs. Dogs.
Apparently so. So I mean,
how could you make that up? Exactly.
There's a guy on Facebook, and I'm telling you, like, if you think that you need to go into fakeologist.com or truthmeets.com to find out about major faked conspiracies, etc., you don't. You can go on Facebook or you can go onto any, like, even... it's incredible. It's mainstream.
Facebook. Straight away.
There are the same amount of everything is fake stuff now to this day on like James Delenpole, for instance, his show. He interviewed three people that I listened to. I've just subscribed to his channel. Mm-hmm. His stuff is up there with anything that fakeologists or hoax busters went on about. It, like, it was all fake. Everything's fake. You know, that every story you've ever heard about's fake.
I don't mind that. I can accept it.
So I don't mind it either, but I'm saying now, if anyone thinks that you need to go onto obscure conspiracy sites to find out the stuff, it's now on mainstream, like Facebook.
Absolutely.
It's everywhere.
Ever since the COVID-19 vax came out, I think it's turned...
Woken up people.
It's turned people into either morons or... You understand that we are one of the few that said, no fucking way am I, I'll inject shit into my arm. But I, when I was younger, man, when I was on the age, but I was, that was in my 20s.
Yeah, no, it happened.
And I just did that for a laugh.
Why Seinfeld's
Richards
is opening up about his life. Yeah. I'm looking at it. Geez, he looks different now. I'm just looking at
what's the post it to
No, it's already on the Rick and Rollo
Let's have a look at him. What's he look like now?
I enjoyed the
chat that him, you know, Jerry Seinfeld did, the you know, chatting in cars. You know,
Actually, while I'm on here as a conspiracy theorist, Jerry Seinfeld put out a kids' movie that I had to take all three of them, we had to go and see the B movie, whatever it's called. And it was Jerry Seinfeld wrote it.
I enjoyed the B movie. Yeah,
it was a great movie. Yeah. And I think it had what's the name from, we've been talking about those films, the good-looking chick protagonist that helps Barry B bring B, you know, the bees back in the movie. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but I think it was what's the name with a strange name that played the diary of what's the name? What were we talking about a couple of weeks ago?
Not sure.
Squinty-eyed actress that had plastic surgery and the
Lucy Liu.
She had squinty eyes because she's Chinese, but she's beautiful. I'm talking about
the one with squinty eyes that wasn't Chinese.
Yeah, the one with squinty eyes that wasn't Chinese.
Bella is back. Hey,
back again.
Can you let Verilicious join?
No, you don't have to let
her. She can join whenever she fucking wants.
She has to press the button.
Yeah.
What's her name? What's her name? The actress that played the squinty-eyed, what's her name? I'll say diary. The actress, she lived in Sydney. She was in that movie that we talked about recently. I think she was the girl in the B movie.
You gotta give me.
She was the actress.
B movie was the first one I got a piracy cease and desist order for.
Really?
Oh, really?
Well, to be honest, I think that movie was actually a predictive programming because we have no bees up where I live. They've been slaughtered by the government, have ordered all the bees. You're listening to
Rick and
Rollo. You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
This is Klaus Schwab from the Fair Economic Forum, and you're listening to Hack, Rollo, and Cholo with a C. Chollo. Let's have a look at my calendar and my evil Leah. It is the 8th. It's A-A-T-E-S. 8th of
November, that's N-O-F-E-M-B-E-R, 2025, F-I-F-E. And this is Rick, Dory Ike and Oro and Cholo having a good time talking about their stuff. Be told, got to go, running off to...
Ooh, someone's joined us. That's hilarious.
Just before you get to that, I think, did Klaus Schwab give another donation recently?
Yes.
Okay, I just checked, yeah, I just got a... There was just a new deposit into the Truth Meets account, and I was just curious if that was him or not.
Don't ask me. Well, obviously, I wouldn't know, John, but I would. I'm just going to guess here.
Klaus certainly keeps the platform alive, and he makes all my work worthwhile, that's for sure. Who would have thought I'd end up finding an allegiance with that guy? But
yeah, well, look, I can't understand that. And don't ask me how I know that Klaus sent you some money, but it wasn't me, obviously. It was definitely Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum.
It's well earned too. I just put in a whole bunch. The reason the Velo box was down the other day, I've just done a complete rebuild. Yes. Everything's now upgraded. It was using CD quality for now. Everything's 24-bit across the board. I'm just doing some back-end changes to clean everything up. And this new thing's running so efficiently. I'm not impressed with my own skill. I'm like, wow, I didn't expect to get such good results. But
Velo.
It's just an upgrade that was a long time coming. So I first built that thing, you know, a few years back when Truth Meets started, and I haven't done any work on it since. So it was overdue for a bit of tender love and care. So now it's good.
Oh, no, Dave and I were on the, about to do that show last week, and sent me a message saying that it's down for 2 hours. And I said, and he went, boom, we'll just go onto his channel. Yeah. Bang, 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 knocked it out, and it's all good.
So always preferable, honestly, that's good as a backup, but always preferable to do it on Truth Meets because it's easier for me to render it at the end without
having to do it all. Yeah, I know, because I cancelled the week before and, you know, we like to do things. Oh, he's a pro and he wants to do it every week.
Hey, Klaus. Klaus, I just wanted to ask you a question.
What are you bothering me for?
I'm bothering you why is Verilicious in the room?
And she kept, you invited her, so she turned up, Rollo. She turned
Hello,
up.
Hello, Verilicious. Come and join us.
We need Hello. A female voice. We need a female voice, so it's fantastic.
it's not a sausage fest now.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time. An itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot.
Hey,
that's so funny. I'll never live that down, that one.
You will never, ever, ever. And that's the problem with truthmeets.com. If you
and
say
our printer
it
was like,
repeated.
It used to print on this long thing and it used to make that noise.
There you go.
Oh, dear. That's funny.
So, Verilicious, you've been out socialising today, obviously, and having a few champagnes or...
Yes, that's my usual Saturday. Yes.
Fantastic.
We Verilicious, we did enjoy you turning us into a boy band. That was much fun.
I was playing around with the AI thing.
What's the app called? What do you use?
I was on the Google Play and I just had a look, but then I eventually just got Grok, and Grok does everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's pretty good. Yeah, just having a bit of fun with it.
You can't tell the difference. It may as well be real, to be honest. I mean, I cannot. If someone said, then obviously they filmed us standing up. But we didn't do that. We were just sitting there and drunk on Rollo's balcony. It looks exactly like we stood up and rammed around, did funny hand things. And I can't tell the difference.
Where did the cows go from behind me? Did you see that?
Yeah, I didn't notice.
Where did the couch go? It just disappeared. It disappeared into Velo's, and Velo was wearing a scarf. Oh, Jolo was wearing
Jolo.
A scarf.
Jolo.
Yeah.
He just made the greatest hamburger I've ever eaten in my life.
that on that night.
Yeah.
That night. Yep. That was the greatest hamburger I've ever eaten. To this day, I'll never be able to
return. On the best grill. On the best grill.
Yes, true. That's true. You just bought.
Nothing beats homemade.
It was brilliant.
But Joel, that was, look, you don't underplay your cooking skills. That was absolutely the greatest burger I've ever eaten.
What about my margaritas? My margaritas were up.
Good. 10 out of 10. Not enough tequila. I'll just have to say that.
No, well, that was Bello. It was a
bit grubby, though. It had a worm, but it didn't come from the bottle.
Ew, that's disgusting.
Yeah, ew.
Hey, Bella, you got the best seat in that, or the best
bed.
The top shelf.
In that fucking garage. He had to sleep down in the garage. And I was the guy that helped sell your house. Do you think that you get any bonus points for that? No.
I love it. I love it.
Never mind. It was all good. I forgive you.
Rick slept in my garage. Verilicious. Yeah.
How's
your boyfriend? How's Ranger and the boy?
Everyone's good. Good. He's got second win. Actually, we're just experiencing a storm surge now. Can you believe it?
We got it here too. Verilicious. It was thunder and lightning. Right. And it's disappeared, and it's all kind of nice now, but I can't see the stars.
So I reckon we're going to get an hour of it. We're going to get an hour of it. They went crazy again today. But it was one of those really hot days again, and then that traps the heat in.
Yep.
And then you get that high level, that humidity just goes really high.
Yep.
And then you actually see the lightning first and then the thunder. So, but we haven't, there's no actual rain yet. So that's the thing. We think Brisbane might pop it. Brisbane might get the hail again.
Yep.
So, it's going to be an interesting night.
Can I come up there, Bella?
And vomit all over yourself in front of everybody?
No.
You can stay at the casino.
I want to stay at the casino near you guys because that's pretty close, right?
Yeah. Pretty close. Yeah.
Rollo, you'd fly there. You would not get on the train. I'll just tell you now.
I'll get on the train.
I trust it. Rollo, you fly from Newcastle to Gold Coast.
Will Verilicious let me sleep on her lounge?
No.
There's no room.
Your performance. Not after your performance.
Rachel will kick you out.
Can I sleep with Ranger in the doghouse?
No. Oh, no. Ranger needs his own private
bed. He's got his own room and his own massive king bed.
Has he got steps to get up there? How does he get up to the bed? Do you have to pick him up to throw him on there or is he climb up?
No, his bed's on the, on the floor. But it's a big king dog bed, one of those.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. So this is 16th. Is this his 16th year of life? Ranger?
No, he'll be 15 in January.
Okay, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I told you, I was at a job at Palm Beach and the foreman on the job got a phone call and he goes, oh, fantastic. And he was talking away and I said, who was that? And he said, oh, it's my wife. Our exact same dog, same color, everything, 17 years of age.
Yeah.
No problems whatsoever. And I'm like, far out. Whoa. Because it's just, you don't hear that often. You just keep hearing about, because they're the most beautiful dogs ever. They got, what do they have? They have, empathy, they got everything, they're always just they're always smiling at you. They do smile.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very good with kids. They're a good family dog.
They will eat and dig anywhere they can possibly do. They will eat your cushions. They will chew your chairs. It depends on their diet, I guess.
No, but also... also, I think the only reason that they do a lot of, if they chew things like furniture and stuff, it's from boredom. So you have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You keep have to keep them entertained. Like, I mean, Ranger's out all the time with us. So we just were down at Bud's Beach, which is basically the river. And it's got a beach. The river's got a beach there. He can just hang out there. Just loves it. He's outside. He's with, you know, he's with his pack. And yeah, it's great. Everybody sort of recognizes him now. We took him to Groundwater Festival, what was about 2 weeks ago now, where we did some line dancing because it was a country music festival. And he was loving it.
You did some line dancing?
Sure did. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Achy, breaky heart. We started, I think, with the nut bush and then rolled round through to the Billy Ray, and then we had some other, but there were some real bangers that they did the line dancing to, and it was really fun. Like, you don't have to be a country music person to enjoy it, but everyone just had so much fun. And it was great. It was on the beachfront, it was on the pool.
Here we go.
Hey.
My heart's on fire. We're on fire.
Not the same song, Achy Breaky Heart, but they're near enough.
No, I know. That was always the cliche of line dancing was bloody Elvira.
Yeah, Elvira, yeah. Hey,
my nan used to do line dancing in the 90s, so I know all those songs, the Achy Breaky Heart, the Busted.
Jolo, line dancing, because I was on the board of a PCYC back in the 80s and 90s, line dancers would be coming from every direction to book one of the rooms to do their line dancing thing. It is beyond a cult. It is an obsession with over 80s women. So they have to go around dancing around and with their boots on, ruining the floors. That's huge. It's a big thing.
It was cowboy boots with denim shorts, and you either wore a bikini top with a shirt over the top, or you just had a that was great. Like, and then if you had the cowboy hats, you had the cowboy hat. So I mean, I had the denim shorts. I'm missing the boots. Had the bikini top. But I didn't have the cowboy hat, but you know.
There we go.
Rollo, start dancing.
I was going to say, why don't you get up and give us a show, Rollo?
Yeah, Rollo, come on.
I'm dancing.
Just move the lounge out of the way so you got some space there. There you go. Away. Nice.
That's it.
You got to put your thumbs in your belt buckle, like in your belt.
Yeah. And you got to learn how to
That's it.
Vine to the left and then vine to the right.
You didn't need to put high heels on. You could have just done it in boots. That's okay.
Rollo, you do not need to dress up like that to do it. You're doing a good job.
Oh, nice spin. Awesome.
That's good. I love the way you did that. I hope Rosie's safe tonight.
She is safe.
You know what was funny? The nut bush thing, no one in America knows what the nut bush is. That's not like...
Really?
I think for an American artist, the song is not even popular over there. Sarah had never heard of it. And I'm like,
I've seen this
YouTube video of a guy going, like, he talks about Australian things. He's an American guy who talks about Australian things, and he's just watching a video of it going down at the pub, and he's like, they all seem to know this dance. And then, like, everyone's doing the left, right, right thing.
The Nutbush City Limits is a guaranteed dance move, and any – RSL.
That's,
or anywhere with
her name. What was her name?
Tina Turner.
That's right, Tina Turner.
Yeah. And it was great.
That was the one that
we
always
started with.
Yeah.
Farted with or
started
with.
You blew
me a kiss.
Here we go. Come on, Rollo. Do it. Get your
Time to get up and dance.
Come on, Rollo.
You can do
it. Oh, look at that. The air lasso. Nice one.
I'm dancing. You guys are great.
Watch out for the dog. Don't step on the dog.
Don't step on the dog.
All right. Just pick her up and dance around
her. That's That's your song right there, Rollo. Drunk with no bail.
Blow me a kiss on air right now. Can you do it? AI. Right.
Rollo.
AI, you got it.
She AI kissed me today.
Yeah. Terminated me, and I turned that photo around.
It was lost. I loved it. And it just means everything to me. Yeah. It just what is it? The technology that you can do. What do you use again? Well, that's
AI.
Ask you again.
It's the Grok.
Yeah, the AI, generally. but.
I want somehow, is it possible to do on Grok a Rolling Stones I Know It's Only Rock and Roll parody using I Know It's Only Rick and Roll, but I love it, replace the lyrics on Grok with the Rolling Stones actually singing that song? Is that possible, or is that what do you call it?
I don't know. I'll ask it, see what it can do.
Oh, yeah. I know it's only Rick and Rollo, but I love it or like it, whatever. I sent that song, and which we actually just played it before. I think that would be fantastic.
If it
can be done on AI, because I think they can simulate any single thing you want.
The best tool for that is Suno. That's what I use to make the bumpers and Sarah used to make those songs. It's a music app.
Okay.
But the problem is you can't go uploading the original. If you had a song of your own, you can upload it and go cover and then change the lyrics. But I think because the music's copyrighted, I don't know. If I tried to upload it, it might detect that it's the real song.
Something to do with the copyright, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, we'll forget about that. Actually, forget about that.
I could give it a prompt, though, like do a sound-alike of the Rolling Stones. You know, like I could try and see what comes up.
I know, it's only Rick and Rollo, but I like it. Yeah. Which is, to be honest, I could actually mimic Mick Jagger and send you a sound grab and just, if you could.
Then you can punch it into Suno, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's not the actual Rolling Stones doing.
Yeah, plenty of sound alikes in like music libraries, you know, like movies that can't afford the real song. They have a song that sounds very similar that like a studio session musician does.
Yeah. Okay.
They're just a few notes off usually.
I made up a dance tune and it sounds very much like Lady Gaga. I was like, whoa. Couldn't believe it.
But it came out and even been censored.
That's where her songs have been coming from the last 10 years.
That's on Rick and Rollo electronic dance music page.
Yeah. Whatever one I posted there, I was like, what?
Yeah.
That was pretty full on. I was just like, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, but it goes to show, though, because you don't really know now that. Well, you don't really know these days because most of the time it's like, are they just making it up that way?
You would never know.
You would never know. And do you remember, I mean, we'll go back to during the COVID days, and I remember on TV when they were putting up these people and we found out that they were the metahumans. They weren't even real people talking. Yep. They were talking as like the – what were they called? You know, the professor of this and the professor of that. And you're you're thinking, is it real?
Harmony.
Yeah.
Oh, you're playing my song. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Electric and bold.
All right.
Energy, always in motion, moving flawlessly through time. Powerful vibrance, endless flow. So bright.
Well, get your pills out, Rollo.
I'm done. Bring it, Rollo.
You're listening to
No Matter What Your Age.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Okay, Rick and Rollo 54, Saturday the 8th of November 2025 on truthmeets.com. And we're listening to the most amazing music. Here we go. Keep going.
I'm just putting ecstasy in my carrot juice. I'd say Lady Gaga's a little more contralto than that.
Wow.
That's yeah.
Amazing. So good.
It's because
no, we're Lady Gaga.
Well, I just wrote some words down, right? And then if you listen to some of the lyrics that some of the like people like Lady Gaga, if you listen to David Guetta stuff and all that, you know, you've got all the and I thought, well, I'll just bang through some lyrics. I'll just write something about energy, da da. And then I went through and I thought, how am I going to break this up into a song? Because I've been playing around with Suno for the last year now. I think Sarah got me onto it anyway. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll have a bit of a play. And then they did the upgrade on it. And I thought, oh, all right, I'll have a play around with EDM, which is electronic dance music.
Yep.
And then what prompts can I use to, you know, so I thought, what's David Guetta style? What's Lady Gaga style? What's, you know, all those people, like, what are their styles? What's in them? How do I do the clashes? How to do it? And then you just put them in the prompts and then I'm just like, I don't know how it's going to come out. Let's see. And then when it comes out the way that it does and you're like, oh, that is amazing. You're like, I couldn't even do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was just to be a DJ, you know, you could just put all that in now. And I was like, that was awesome. So I've come up with about 35 tracks. And I thought Schoolies is coming up. I could have my own like little DJ off the balcony here at the beachfront. That'd be hilarious.
Why not?
So sweet.
So when Schoolies start will be this week or next week, I think. Very close.
Yeah. It's very close. It's around when we have Black Friday. What's that? Black Friday is around about the 28th. So
yeah, very close. Week,
yeah, I think it starts around about the 21st or something. Schoolies. Yep. Yeah. So a couple of weeks. Everything's happening. Happening in November.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The Gold Coast is definitely the party central place in Queensland. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, well, they've redone up Surfers Paradise, so the Esplanade's been blocked off now on a more permanent basis, and they've redone it up. It looks actually really amazing. But, yeah, it's going to be full party central in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
And then, yeah.
Can I come up? So do I drive up there?
No,
or
you're
do
not
I,
coming up as a toolie. No, you're not.
Can you imagine Rollo?
No, I just want to go to Jupiter. That's all I want to do. Is
you want to go to the star? And, yeah, you can star. Go to the star. Yeah, it's got its own little.
That's all I want to do.
It's got everything there anyway, Rollo. It's got a hotel. It's got restaurants. It's got the casino. It's got movies.
Wow.
Yeah,
you sound like you're shilling for us to come up.
Yeah. No, well, I've been there. I mean, we went to the Italian restaurant there. That was awesome. We had an awesome night there. Yeah,
that was an awesome song, by the way. Dun 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 dun.
It brings you back, though. It goes to show how old we are, because that's the kind of music that I've sort of can resonate with, over, you know, not so much. I don't even know who half the artists are these days, you know. So,
if I was in a nightclub with you, Fairalicious, I'd be grinding on you.
Rollo.
Don't be grinding on me. I'll be on the podium.
Save me up a podium because Rollo can't climb.
I'll be grinding you on you on the podium. That's awesome. I love it.
Oh, good stuff. Good.
I have a dream.
Funny as. Yeah. So how's your cat now, Rick?
She is right in front of me right now with her shaved pussy. My shaved pussy is right in front of me. She's looking at me going, I want some more food, Dad. And she just sits there and I have to. I can't say no. She's already had one lot today. And I'm going to go and give her some more food. And the food has been – no, you've got food there. You, like, eat the rest of that and I'll give you some more.
They found the tick, did they?
Yeah. It was definitely a paralysis tick. And so the warning is for anyone that owns a dog between Melbourne up to where you are, you need to get the best quality anti-tick. What do they do? I think they actually eat the – it's kind of like not a wafer, but they squirt it in their mouth possibly. And
it's called Next Guard.
Next Guard's what we played. I think it costs about $100 and something.
Yeah. We'll get the Spectrum one. You can get the Spectrum one.
Yeah, 3 months.
Ranger had the Spectrum one. I'm less inclined to give him those poisonous tablets, but sometimes you gotta I give him a whole year's break in between, and if it's that season, I'll give him just that 3 month one. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I also have the tick removal thing as well, just in case. But I mean, you just never know.
They are the most evil thing that's ever been. Like when people talk about mosquitoes, they talk about
leeches,
any creature on the planet. The tick has got to be up there with the most evil creation. Whoever came up with that little creature, it's this big, fat, round, ugly-looking crab thing. And just once it gets a bite into a cat or a dog, they're paralyzed. They can't move their back legs. They can't jump up or can't say anything. What they do is they crawl away under a house, usually, and they stop breathing and die.
Yeah, it's the paralysis.
It's absolutely horrific.
I let Rosie under the house.
Yeah, no, but Rollo.
Yeah, half an hour a day.
Yeah, but Rollo, she's doing that because it's cool for her because she's got. So what you have to do is get her shaved.
I have no idea what she's doing under.
No, she's chasing lizards. Chasing lizards or whatever.
Aren't the ticks though normally where there's in gardens and all sorts of stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
I have to look it up, but isn't it the possums or one of those creatures are actually immune to it? Like,
yeah, yep.
They have ticks on them, but they're just carriers.
Kangaroos have them all over their ears, apparently, and nothing happens if
they just carry them. They just carry them from place to place.
Dogs are the ones that suffer the most and are the most expensive to get repaired. When I say repaired, what they do is they inject a anti-tick toxin, which is made from dog blood, into a cat. And because they said to me when we got to the vet, we're going to inject her with the stuff, but a lot of the time the cats have a bad reaction to dog blood. So they're actually using a kind of a genetic concoction.
That's the worst app I've ever put on my phone.
Which one?
TikTok. TikTok.
Don't put fucking TikTok on your phone. You'll be done for, Rolla.
Your mind's already too rotted. We don't need you getting into TikTok as well. And I'm still trying to get that image out of my head of Rollo grinding his carrot on the podium. Jesus Christ.
That's so I funny. Do grind my carrots. I do grind my carrots.
Can you believe that Rollo would put vodka in with his the most
expensive? Oh, I can. I can.
In carrot juice?
In carrot juice. But
why?
But
why would you do that?
Because he's a fuckwit. I'll just have to say that.
No, I'm pretty sure the Gerson book didn't say to do that.
No one.
Play the Jonas Brothers. If you get to have a go at me, I just want the Jonas Brothers. Yeah,
we're not playing the fucking Jonas Brothers, Rollo. I'll say that again.
God, the Rollo's new balcony channel's done for if he gets TikTok.
So my pussy's got her back shaved, but she needs more of a tummy shaved or whatever. But she's happy. She's outside. It's $1,290 the cost to save her life. But, delicious, if it's a dog, it's $3,500 minimum.
I know, it's expensive.
My Rosie was $2,200.
Yeah, that wasn't and a tip.
I was very upset. I thought she was going to die. I think her. Yes,
she would have done. But no, that's because she had an issue with her pussy.
We did it.
She had a pussy issue, not a cat issue.
Massive
pussy issue. And she had to have her vagina.
But she's okay now. And so
Sahara, she just looked at me and just gave me this look like, you know, I'm eating what you gave me and I'm going to come back for more. And you're going to feed me. Whether you like it or not, that's what cats do. They control the house. Dogs are the opposite. They just know that everyone loves dogs, and we're going to look after them. And if they get any issue,
listen. I saw a begonia the other night where all the humans got killed.
Which one?
And the question the movie on Friday night with Chrissy. What's
it
called?
Is it any good? I was thinking about getting that one to have a look at.
Oh, he watched it and he reckoned it's fantastic. Very,
okay.
Cool. Rollo said Begonia is fantastic. I'm going to go to the movies.
There's a plot hole in it. Okay. So
tell us. Please tell us.
So when I'm going to spoil the ending for you.
No. Don't do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck off, Rollo.
Well,
I want to see it and enjoy a movie for once without you ruining it.
It is fantastic.
Joel, honestly, you cannot discuss anything with Rollo if you don't want it ruined. Anything.
Did you watch The Substance, though?
No. The Substance, I haven't watched, but I
oh, you haven't
that
watched
thing,
it?
That thing with Demi Moore.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's Andie MacDowell's daughter who plays the younger version of her.
No doubt.
Yeah, but it's a really interesting movie. I didn't originally want to watch it because I thought, ugh. But then the storyline is actually really good, but then it gets really creepy and weird.
What made you say it was creepy? Because I saw your reply to that.
Are you going to give it away?
We don't care about spoiler alerts because I'm not going to watch it. But I want to know what made her say it was creepy.
The substance is something that she takes. For her to become young, the younger version of her comes out of her.
Right.
Oh, that and body horror one. I saw that with Sarah about a year ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, she stitches her up, right? But then every 7 days they have to alternate, right? But they're the same person. They're actually one person.
Mm.
Right? Yeah, and then, you have to watch it. It's actually...
I haven't seen the part where
the younger version of her... wants to become more famous and all that kind of stuff. You don't care about me spoiling it.
No, we don't care.
Then she extends it out longer than the 7 days. And what happens then is because she's taking other like substance from her original self, right? Yeah. And so what happens then? It starts to age. So Demi, it ages Demi, right? So the next time when she wakes up, when they swap over, she's like this really old woman with all like she starts. Yeah,
you're borrowing. You're borrowing from yourself. So if you're in the young body and you think, "Oh, I'm not going to swap back. I'm just going to stay and keep being young."
Yeah.
Your old body's getting really old because you're being selfish. So it's like it's a good but psychological thriller because it's you. It's all your own decisions. Yeah. It's like Man in the Mirror kind of introspective. Yeah. Yeah, it's really clever.
Which is encouraging. It's clever but creepy at the same time.
No, look, so you're saying that's Andy McDowell's daughter, was it?
I think so, yeah.
She must have a different name because I'm like, whoa, that...
No, that's because Andy McDowell's been with about four or five different blokes and has kids with.
I think it's her daughter. I'm pretty sure when I checked it was.
It probably is, but it wouldn't surprise me.
She's beautiful.
It is Margaret Qualley. Yeah, I looked up that actress when I saw the movie. I had no idea. Yeah.
Yep.
It's her mum?
Yeah.
Her mum's Andy McDowell, yeah.
Margaret Qualley was the young girl and then... Demi Moore's the old lady, and then, it's the daughter of Andy McDowell.
And it was all practical. That was all practical effects. So when she went up on stage with the thing over her face, when her body disintegrated, because
what she did was you're only allowed to use the substance once, right?
Yeah.
And because she started falling apart, like the younger self, so she thought, I can't.
Yeah, I'll give her half.
Yeah. She split the split again, right? And she wasn't supposed to. So she turned into a monster, basically.
Mm.
So her own insecurities end up basically killing herself because it was her own security chasing fame and all sorts of stuff that ended up just killing her. So. Elizabeth Sparkle was her name. I wanted to see that in the theater. I really did.
But my wife said no way.
Yeah, because it's nasty movies, which is what we're
going.
But we watched Begonia last night. You know, with the big splat on Emma Stone's face. It wasn't a great movie.
Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons,
but who lost all the weight? You know, he'd kind of gone Christian Bale on us.
Yep.
It was a good movie. It was a movie that I walked out of and I went, and every person in the cinema, right? And it was pretty full. And this is on the second week. No one walked out. Anyone who walked out walked back in. And I held my bladder because I needed a piss. I needed a piss, but I went. No, did fucking you have a way vodka? Am I walking out? I'm not.
Were you drinking vodka?
Yeah, well, I had vodka in my
carrot juice.
Why not? It was awesome, but that the substance. I really want to see that in the theater.
Hey, what about the other movie that's huge? What about Springsteen? Has anyone gone to see Springsteen? Because someone told me that it was so sad, and I was like, Bruce Springsteen hasn't had a sad life, not as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what was his biggest song? Born in the USA, was it?
Yeah, it was his biggest song, but no, his other biggest song was that got covered by Manfred Mann's Earth Band covered that song about smoking a it had all these cryptic clues in the you're listening to
Rick and Roll.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
measure. Here we go. What a beautiful.
Okay, we're going to play a song from our album, The Roaring Silence. We'd like you all to clap your hands. Can you do that? Let's see ya. Woo! All right.
So this song had the most archaic lyrics ever.
Can you explain what he's saying there? Exactly, blinded right, by the light,
revved up like a douche.
Yeah.
I just want you to explain that.
Look, honestly, this has been an argument going on for an old fraternity for about 40 years.
Mm.
So the lyrics said... So what apparently Bruce Springsteen said, it was revved up like a deuce, some kind of car.
Yeah, but it was the 1932 Ford Deuce Coupe.
Exactly.
Oh. And it was a classic hot rod, which was for drag racing.
Exactly.
So, good one, yeah,
but there were so many people said, no, it was wrapped up like a douche. And I was like, what? Douche? Another Rona in the night. And people were saying, no, it's about smoking pot. And I went, no.
Like a doobie.
A doobie, yeah. So revved up like a douche.
He doesn't say doobie. He says douche. Blinded by the light.
Bruce Springsteen never encouraged the actual truth to come out. He made it just as a lot of rock and roll stars, more controversial. But the whole song is totally makes no sense.
No, exactly.
Do you remember the girl from Friends? Got up on stage when she was a little girl.
She was about 21 years
old. I've got Bruce here if you want to hear his one.
He was blinded by light, cut loose like a deuce, another runner in the night, blinded by light.
Yeah. That fantastic, Jolo. That was fantastic. There are people that are living on the lyrics on this song. They're saying it was about smoking pot. And I went, no, it's not. It's about a guy that's, revving a car up and et cetera. But it became a major, major story, big time. So Manfred Mann's Earth Band. This became a major conspiracy theory back in the 70s. What are the lyrics of Bruce Springsteen's song?
Who was the girl from Friends?
Who is the
name of all the girls?
Jennifer
Aniston. No, not Jennifer Aniston, the other one.
Which one?
The cougar. She thought she was a cougar.
Hey, yeah. Well, speaking of cougars, I listened to Purple Plays talking to, what's the name, the new
Serena.
Come on to the Serena. And they were talking about Sex in the City. And I remember that show as a 40-year-old, I guess, when it first came out. And I remember going, these are the most frightening-looking females ever. Who would find them sexy? Horse-headed, what's the name, that was married to...
Matthew Broderick. Matthew Broderick's wife. Sarah Jessica Parker.
The slut blonde chick that played this supposedly...
Kim Cattrall.
Yep. And the only one I actually found attractive was... Because one of them looked like she was actually a dead person. I can't remember who she was. It was a third actress. Then there was one actress that actually was good looking in Sex and the City. Now, this was a major, major show in the 90s, early 2000s. And still, to be honest, Sex and the City, and that is part of the Mandela effect, because they said, is it Sex in the City?
Sex and the City. That's what everybody says.
So that became a Mandela effect. That if you said it was sex and or sex in, you were part of the Mandela effect. And I can remember going, this is the worst. Look, to me, being a male, I have to say, no interest in that show whatsoever. And I remember looking at Kim Cattrall. But there were one of the actresses actually was quite good looking. I don't remember which one, but not
here we go.
Oh, which one? I've got to see an old photo and see who you think is attractive.
All right. So Carrie Bradshaw
played that's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Kirsten Davies, she was pretty brunette.
And now
we've got Mariana Hobbs, who played Cynthia.
Where can I find an old photo so I can see? Oh, here's one. I've got one from the original. Okay, so you got the blonde one. I don't find her attractive.
No.
The other blonde. Sarah Jessica Parker has always been unattractive. The redhead, no. The other blonde one, no. And then I would agree, the brunette is more attractive.
Brunette is good looking. Yeah.
But the short redhead was a lesbian in real life. Doesn't mean I can't rate
her attractiveness. It's like she's a lesbian. You can't do that.
Not in the one day.
But honestly, I remember these shows as being part of. You go to the pub and you'd be talking to someone and they go, oh, I've watched Sex and the City. And they'd be like, these were big, big shows. We don't see shows of this level anymore, except for, to be honest, the Apple show that I was into that I kept going on about, the
Severance.
I thought that was fantastic. I got into it.
Severance is kind of like the mental version of what The Substance was, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So there was a there with that, but.
Oh, wow.
I just remember Sarah Jessica Parker happened to be the partner of the actor, what's his name, that played the. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And they got a car crash. They were in a car crash.
Because he drove on the wrong side of the road.
Wrong side of the road. But that's true.
His name was Matthew Broderick.
And guess
who was Inspector Gadget. you remember?
He was. Yeah. And his father was another Broderick and another big TV show back in the 70s or 80s.
I loved Matthew Broderick in The Cable Guy with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Jim?
Yeah.
But look, honestly, Ferris Bueller's Day Off reminded me of my childhood. Every time I watched it, I was going, that was what we were like. It was like faking our sicknesses. Everything about Ferris Bueller's Day Off to me was realistic.
But Matthew Broderick would always play the straight guy. Like, that's what you are, Rick. Yeah, you're the straight guy.
Yeah.
And you're the crazy guy. I'd be the Jim Carrey. And that's why people did not understand when Matthew Broderick in The Cable Guy with Jim Carrey, because it really wasn't a comedy. It was something totally new. I loved it. Yep. I absolutely loved it. You know, I can give you a free cable, but he's a clingy guy, and all he wants to do is cling on to. It's called a glomon. Have you ever heard of a glomon?
Yeah, maybe.
You've had glomons? I mean, yeah, happens all the time.
Totally agree, Rollo. I totally agree.
Yeah,
great film though.
And that's a good movie.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off to me reminded me of my. Every scene of it, I was going, this is the way that we were, you know, faking out, you know, pretending to be sick when we weren't sick. But how many of the cast of Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Let's have a look. How many cast?
Are
still with us.
One of them, the school principal was arrested for pedophilia. It was full on. Bad news if you were watching that movie thinking those were your heroes.
That was Hughes, the guy that did Uncle Buck and Home Alone. He wrote that. Ferris Bueller. Here we go.
He was arrested and jailed for pedophilia. Not just like a minor issue. It was ginger-haired.
I can't remember. Jennifer Grey was in there too.
Yeah, she was, and that was pre.
Oh,
Jennifer Grey.
She played Jeannie Bueller.
The dumbest
thing Jennifer Grey did was get a rhinoplasty, like the nose job.
Exactly. Yeah, and she didn't look like Jennifer Grey, and she became a nobody.
It's the same as the girl that played Bridget Jones.
That's what I was talking about before.
You don't look like the person that you were before.
Yeah, exactly. What's her name though? Bridget Jones, and she was living in Australia.
Bridget Jones.
The actress.
All right, there we go.
A B C D.
We were talking about Jennifer Grey though. She really regretted it because she was in that movie with Patrick Swayze, Dirty Dancing, in 1987.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it was a great movie. Apparently, they didn't like each other because they had a little bit of an affair on Red Dawn or something. Good movie. Well, apparently, they had a little bit of a, friends with benefits type thing. That's what they thought it was.
Oh, yeah. So you're just humping the podium, basically.
Do you remember watching what's his name, played the hero of that film, playing a bouncer in a movie called, what's his name? It was like the guy that died of cancer,
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze played the bouncer. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Mm. That was a huge movie in the back of the 80s.
And Jake Gyllenhaal did the remake. What's his name? Conor McGregor in it.
Really?
Yes. Have you seen it? You should watch it. It's not funny.
OMG. I'm going to say that. OMG.
Yeah, OMG is right. Because Conor McGregor cannot act.
No, at all.
But it was It was, look, you know what? I actually enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed that movie. But it was pure cheese, because I love watching cheesy movies that make me laugh.
I love cheesy movies too. There's nothing wrong with cheesy movies.
But the original was so much better.
The original's always good. But sometimes when they do the remakes or, you know, you're like, what is going on? Yeah, it's pretty funny. Hey, you know what? It was also big back in 1995, 96. Yeah. And they filmed it in New Zealand, I believe. Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, my God.
That was huge.
Yeah, huge movie. Huge, huge. And so many people. Including a person I'm not going to mention his name, who I just found out left his wife way earlier than he should have done, who was a major star in that film, a TV show.
Kevin Sorbo, wasn't it?
Sorbo was definitely part of that whole thing. I can't
remember her name.
Lucy Lawless.
And, there you
oh
go.
My no. God, that woman became a major star from that TV show. Guaranteed.
It was huge everywhere. Everybody wanted to watch it. All afternoon, I remember, I was like coming home from school. I was like, want to watch it.
Yeah, I believe it. I have to say this, and I'm going to say this.
I used to watch Hercules and Xena as a kid. That was good.
Same people.
Oh, good idea.
Same producers. Look, honestly, to me, Victoria, which is Melbourne, is way cooler than Sydney. And I love everything about it. But I know what happened 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it is. But the vibe of Melbourne and the pubs and the restaurants and the coffee shops, et cetera, still going on.
I said to you, the food culture there is amazing.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Yeah,
because when I went back last year, just after, after Dad had his heart attack, my niece took me out. I'm at China Bar at 10 p.m. at night eating like pork dumplings and stuff, and it had such a good vibe.
Yeah.
But the thing is, go as a visitor, you can't live there anymore. There's so much drama and stuff. But if you go for a visit and just enjoy that, no problem.
Yep.
But to live, I mean, look, even my family, they sort of live out inner city Melbourne itself. They reckon it's pretty bad.
Apparently so.
But I mean, they're a little bit out in the burbs. The burbs do their own thing. But if you just go as a visitor, that's fine. I mean, I couldn't live there, not anymore.
No.
But just to go and visit for their food culture and stuff, yeah, it was great.
Did you go to Lygon? Lygon Street.
I've been there.
Lygon Street's awesome. They have a really good, if you go during the Italian festival. That's awesome. Yep. And Brunetti's.
I know.
We used to go to Brunetti's a lot there. It was so good.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is so cool. No, look, honestly, I just love Melbourne. And I can't believe 40 years of living in Australia, I never went there until this year. I love it. And the people there, I've always wondered why heck all the people that I know from Melbourne are always really nice and easygoing, because it's a more easygoing place. Sydney people, no.
In my 20s, I used to go, I think 4 consecutive years, I went there every year during the comedy festival so I could just get drunk and go from pub to pub watching underground basement performances. But I never thought it'd be a place I wanted to live. I just liked it for the food and a week of concentrated comedy was good.
Well, I went in there and got out of there saying I lived there.
Rick and roll!
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
No, I will do it. You're listening to...
You just did, Rollo.
Rick,
Rick and Rollo on November 8th, 2025 on truthmeets.com. And just the Rick and Rollo, a big
yeah,
time.
And 40, what is it, 48?
So no, 54.
54.
Rollo.
54.
50
fucking
oh, God.
40.
Studio 54,
baby.
Whoa. 54,
baby.
That can be the title, Studio
54. And now, we're talking that's about it. the comedy festival down in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's huge.
What was the best joke you ever heard? Who was the best comedian?
The best show I ever saw.
There was quite a few shows.
The best things were always, you'd go to the, you know, in the middle of town outside, was it like the library?
It's
or
in Carlton.
No, Carlton, but there's people playing at pubs all over the city.
Yeah.
But there was like a main caravan thing where all the flyers were, where everyone, like that's where you'd go to get information. I forget, it was in front of like a big important building. Anyway. You'd go there and then the best thing was to find the grungiest underground people and ask them what was worth seeing. Cause it wasn't going to the big publicized acts. You're better off like listening to what the comedy,
Dave,
there'd be all these comedy groupies who would tell you who the new and upcoming acts to go see was. So I went to one basement of a pub. The guy was there like getting ready. And I said, where can I buy a ticket? And he goes, oh, you actually want to pay? Like this guy was so underground, he wasn't even expecting anyone to pay. Like it was the most avant-garde crazy performance. He ended up in a, like he comes out riding a little, what do you call it? Like a pinata, a little pinata horse. And it's, the whole performance was comedy, but based on his like traumatized childhood and that. And then he's in a nappy doing this whole, oh my God, it was hilarious, but, really crazy avant-garde underground and, I ended up having the most laughs at those kind of things. I also got to go and see, too, before he got big, Ronnie Cheng. There was one particular place in the basement they broadcasted on ABC 2. And so the TV's there, you know, and you can go in. But yeah, Ronnie Cheng, I saw him live, too. He was pretty good.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Do you know who I saw live at the comedy club was, you know, Rebecca Emma Loglu, how do you say your name?
Yeah. From Home and Away.
From Home and Away, And the guys that did Acropolis Now.
I met him too.
At the comedy club. I think that was in Carlton. And they did a full stint, like they did a full show where you could just go get your beers, your chips, whatever you want, and you just grab a table and you sit and they started doing their act, right? But it was so relatable. Because they were doing things like, because he was Greek and she played, she's got an ethnic background as well. But it was all relatable because he would play his yaya, his grandmother, the mother.
Rebecca Emma Loglu, whatever, has got, what's that country? She's not Greek.
Who says women can't be funny?
Me. I don't at all. there are people, guaranteed. And I'm telling you, the degeneration, all of those cars.
they've got to be a little bit lesbian to be funny. Kim Cattrall's a hoot, I hear.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, guaranteed. We're talking about lesbians there. But
Rebecca
Emma Loglu is Turkish. So she's Turkish.
Who's this Oglu thing? Yeah. Well, I've got to look this up. Who are you talking about?
Rebecca Emma Loglu from Home and Away.
I think he's right. Turkish. I think it's
Rebecca Eglu.
Amaglu.
Amaglu. Whatever. But she's part of the. So the Turkish gangs are the big gangs.
How do you spell? What's the spelling? I should be. I can't find it. Yes. What?
Rebecca. And it's got an A in Rebecca.
Emma Loglu.
Yeah. Rebecca Emma Loglu. I'm like, what? I was so off base. No wonder it didn't come up.
She is still on Home and Away to this day.
No, big she's shot. On Neighbours.
Neighbours.
She turned into a mama as well. It's Elmaloglu.
There you go.
Yeah,
Emma Ludlow. Go again.
But her Rebecca is R-E-B-E-K-A-H.
H with an H.
And then E-L-M.
L. Okay, I've got it. Elma Ludlow. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Elma Ludlow. Yeah. Okay.
And I was on that show when she was on Home and Away when I was back in the 90s. That
you
was in the era
on,
where
you worked Home and Away. Security.
Yeah. And I keep saying they had the lowest budget ever from any big show, that you were actually given walkie talkies that were from Channel 9 from 1955. Crap walkie talkies. Everything was just old.
when you see William Hurt running for his life on a bloody, he's a famous actor.
No, I wasn't there for that. So he certainly was around for back
in the
90s.
Because they're still filming that in Palm Beach, right?
Yep, 100%. Yeah. Yep. Palm Beach. So, and that show sells in England. So anyone in England would know who Home and Away stars are. And they're told as actors that, you know, we're not going to give you a lot of money. You're going to become a really big star if you stay with our show, because England loves our Australian garbage, you know, propaganda.
Yeah, I know. I still love that story
where you're standing in line. When
that just
William
reminds me.
In front of you and Kiva's in front of you.
That just reminds me that music. Guess who got knighted recently?
Yeah, I saw it. Oh my God. What's his
David
name?
David Beckham.
David Beckham. And Posh Spice is now.
Becomes Lady.
A lady, yeah.
Lady Victoria Beckham.
Sir
David.
This is David Beckham. Come on. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Who could bend it like Beckham?
Well, anyone that was playing soccer back in the 80s or 90s or whatever.
David Beckham deserves a knighthood, I think so.
His morning suit was made by his wife, by the way. Because Charlie asked, that's a lovely suit you made, and he owes my wife. Yeah.
Aralysis, can you name all the Spice Girls?
Can I name all of them? So we've got Posh Spice, Scary Spice,
yep.
Baby Keep Spice, Sporty Spice,
Slutty Spice, or Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice. That's five of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a sixth one, well done. Apparently.
Well done.
Tranny Spice.
Tranny Spice. Tranny Spice.
Those names are easier than Rebecca Elmer's glue or whatever her fucking name was.
I always fancied the Beckham's wife, the Spice, is, you know, like the Charlie's Angels or whatever, you know the one that you fancy. Yeah. Who was Beckham's wife? What Spice would she be?
She was Posh. Posh.
Yeah. He's unbelievably beautiful.
Which one's the one that married Charlie? Was it Mel B or Mel C?
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah. That was B,
she had
wasn't
a
ba- it?
Yeah.
Well, I like Mel C. Mel C's voice is my favorite.
Mel C is Sporty Spice, yeah.
Yeah, she had the solo career as well. Some of them didn't.
She was a bit of a what I would call a slut, because her and her husband used to go to a strip club in King's Cross and pick up strippers and have threesomes. Apparently,
she's a slut and she knows it.
Mainstream news. I'm not being a.
What is our favorite Spice Girl song?
I think
I don't think I have any Spice Girl favorite songs, to be honest. Actually, I do like that.
Well, tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great song. Yeah.
I tell you what you really want.
Oh, Jollo Wall.
You've got to do it as Auntie Klaus.
Yeah.
I tell you what I want, anyone.
You want Wannabe. I don't like Wannabe. I like Say You'll Be There. That's one of my favorites.
Where's Susie? That is actually a very accurate song. Here we go.
I was going to fast forward through the video shit.
Yeah, here we go. Rick and Roller. 54?
God, there's so much video shit to get to. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. No, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig. If you want my future. There's Mel C, though. I like that voice. If you
wanna get this is with right. me.
She was the only one that could really
sing. And baby. Yeah. Just time. Get together. We could be just fine. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. No, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna
if you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover,
open up to your bum. What you think about that? Now you know how I feel.
Say you could handle my love. Are you for real? Are you for real? I won't be. I've got to say, the drum machine tightness is very catchy. If you really bug me, then I'll say goodbye. Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna say this.
Cocaine. If you wanna be my lover, you get me with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover. Do you guys remember the movie Spice World?
I was there because my girlfriend's son was obsessed with the Spice Girls, and I've seen them turn up in the middle of Sydney.
Wow.
When it is, and I actually was there hanging on some scaffold, and we were watching Ginger at Posh and Scary, etc., walking down George Street. When they were really, really...
Did they have security guards around it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was because I was in that game in that day. And I was going, who the fuck is doing this?
Don't mess with them. Yeah.
Yeah, don't mess with them.
Let them go. Let them go where they want to go. Oh, man, that's such a cool job. Yeah.
That was a song in the
Spice World was such
it was a huge, and guess who
was thing.
Well, it always has to star that guy, what's his name, that English actor that always turns up in movies.
What do we got?
This is my favourite one.
Here we go. Well, are you dancing? I'm dancing.
I'm dead. This time we had this conversation. I decided we should be
friends. Hey, but now we're going round in circles. Tell me, she was good looking, though. Ginger.
Oh, yeah. I always like baby.
And baby.
With a little button, though.
No, I'm going to play with my willy and think of you.
Think of you. You got to take it. Oh,
there we go.
Fun. Oh, living in the old days. Isn't it fun to live in the past? I've never had a problem with it. Yeah, it was great.
But Baby Spice, hey, I saw
episode number 54, and we've got Vera Licious all the way from the Gold Coast.
And we're coming out. We're coming out in super high res tonight.
I guarantee.
So it sounds like we're coming in the into the room.
We are.
The classic. Who was the Ginger Spice?
Jerry.
She was the one that sort of made. But there was a put together band like the Monkees or the
same thing. What? Absolutely, And when Scary Spice was living over here, she was her and her husband, who was a very well known. I think he was part of an American cult. They were going to strip clubs and picking up strippers and doing threesomes. It was a well-known thing. It was like, this is not a conspiracy theory.
Maybe because they won't get harassed by, it's like Spice Mania. What's it called? Beatle Mania.
And some of the stars on that Spice movie were particularly that guy who was an English actor who kept appearing in every single.
Is it Alan Cumming?
No, we're talking about what's his name? He grew up in South Africa or Africa, and he was in lots and lots of movies. And he played the kind of what was he playing in the Bicycles movie? He was playing their manager. What's his name?
I think it was Alan.
No, Dominic West. Dominic West was in another massive TV show though.
Yeah,
the prison one.
I thought it was Charles Dance
was another one who
was famous. He was in the Spice movie, wasn't he?
I'm talking about he was an African. Well, he is born in Africa. He's in so many movies. You cannot believe.
Well, give us a helping hand there.
Okay. Well, Rollo, I'm talking about a guy.
I know.
I've had 10 beers minimum.
10 beers. But I've had more than you.
He was an African. When I say Africa, I mean actual Africa.
Yeah. It's Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant.
Swaziland. English actor.
You are 100,000,000% correct. See?
I love Richard E. Grant. You know, my favorite movie is With Nail and I.
The lead actor of With Nail and I.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep saying this. We need a woman to come on.
He was in Star Wars, too.
He was in Star Wars. We cannot do a show without a female because we cannot remember any of
these. Because it's a sausage. It's a sausage fest. Sausage party.
Did you ever watch that? That was funny.
I did. Yeah. Who did that sausage party? I think it was that Seth Rogen. Yeah. He did the super bad or whatever, and because he's Jewish, turned it all on Christianity. I don't want to get into politics.
Can you believe that today's announcement that Amel and the Sniffers have been nominated for a Grammy Award for the best live performance.
Can we get Velo to play? We're gonna go out with some mutt can't be muzzled.
Yeah, why not? And why not? Some mutts want.
No matter what you say,
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. Rollo, no, we'll keep talking. We'll keep talking, and then we'll probably end with some nut scam. Can't be muzzled.
Will we? Told. Oh, man, that'll be such an honor for them. She, let me tell you.
A kiss on the lips? Kiss
no,
on
no,
lips.
No, I didn't get a kiss on the lips. But I went to a, what was it? The band. Now, it was, oh, fuck, I've had so much to drink tonight.
So
you know the shedding when it, you know, shedding where yeah, people
you
are.
To, you, so you went to, so you went to the band.
Yeah, the Shakedown 1979, that band.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, yeah. So, and, but the, it was her, what's her name? When, is her name
Amy Taylor.
All right. So Amy Taylor was, yeah. And that was the only reason I went to that concert for.
And you did.
And it was awesome. They had wrestling there and they were, you know, WWF and they were doing all sorts of, it was great, but there was, one, there was no you couldn't pay with cash. There was no cash payments, and two, the lineups to do anything in this communistic common, it was just ridiculous. So I just spent after I saw Amy do her some must can't be muzzle. There are other songs that I've heard that I like. But it was great, and she total professional,
absolutely,
I just couldn't believe I left, and then it's like I felt, you know, that guy, who's that guy is a cook, what's his name, Gordon Ramsay, right?
Gordon Ramsay.
Have a look at Gordon Ramsay's back. Have a look at Gordon Ramsay's back when he hit he was on his bicycle or something and fell over and almost killed himself. Well, that was my back. And that was just from taking a couple of pills that were given to me at that night.
And that's what happened.
I shouldn't take pills.
No.
Random pills. Yeah, I know.
We've all done it.
It was good, though. It was,
me and you have all done it. We'll just say that. Actually, to be honest.
We've all taken random. What do you call it? They're called, you got a special name for it.
I know that one, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah. All right, then. We're going to go out with Tom Musk.
No, Rolla, we're going to go out with...
Mm.
What song did I actually send to Jolo?
Jolo.
Actually, I've already done it, actually.
Thank you. Thank you, Verilicious, for the big...
And Verilicious,
thanks for the invite, guys.
What a fantastic guest. No, but I've said... I'll say this.
You wanted Tame Impala, right?
Time and Parlor, yeah. We'll end up with that. Thank you, Joel.
Let's have a look.
No, you're welcome. After the show, I'm going to go make myself an amelgaloo, which is what I call a carrot and vodka.
I love it. Joel, you're the best. Be told. There's no...
Rick and Rollo, 54.
And we're going to go with Time and Parlor. Elephant, Time and Parlor.
Thanks for coming out, too, very
what
much.
A great, bring it up. And Verilicious, you're
thanks for
best.
The invite, guys.
you can turn up anytime. You don't need an invite. You just turn up whenever. It's all good.
I'll just turn up.
Just turn up.
You're the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
The winner is Cindy. Australia.